call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Publics Meeting Law, 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied in that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Do all please rise and join me in saluting our flag.
With the allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic where it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Valentine?
Here.
Well?
Here.
Donald?
Here.
School?
Here. Okay, first up on our list, we have just a little bit of correspondence from the Recreation Commission for Volunteer Days.
You require correspondence.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion on this? I will do my best to make it for a little bit for one day, although I won't be able to do anything. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Mr. Van Dorsen, we have the Washington Emergency Squad here for our council appearance. So please come forward, introduce yourself to those who don't know you, and those have your report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. For those who don't know me, I'm Mark Van Dorsen, Washington Emergency Squad Captain. I wanted to come tonight on a couple of different points. First off, just to thank the mayor and council for all your continued support. We appreciate that continues, as well as bring you up to speed on our current status, as well as some future initiatives. Where we're at right now is we have about 40 active volunteers, 10 of which being probationary in training, 5 associate members, as well as 8 employees that work for us during the daytime. The daytime response is staffed by career EMTs Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. when most of the rest of us are at work. The volunteers cover the nights, the weekends, any additional resources we may need, as well as rescue services. We cover Washington Borough and Washington Township for 911 calls, a couple little public assistance projects here and there, as well as prearranged standbys. We're not currently in any coordinated transport progress with any facilities. We do standbys at special events and graduation, the kids' football games, the high school football games, any other time an ambulance is requested. Year to date, it's been a little bit of a busy year. We've had a total of 636 responses, 430 of which were medical emergencies, 73 traffic accidents, and 124 fire calls where we respond to assist the fire department in their activities. And then we've had a handful of cover assignments, standbys as well. The donation that we received from the borough, just to bring you guys up to speed on where that goes. Because we bill for our services to insurance companies, which we do passively, which means that we send a bill out to the insurance company, we take what the insurance company gives us, and then we kind of write off the rest. By law, we have to actually bill out to the patient for whatever's not collected by insurance, unless there is a subscription covered. It could be a subscription collected from the patient, but in this case, it's a subscription that's covered by the borough. So that way, it prevents people from having to pay out of pocket if their deductible is not met, or if they have co-pays, or if they're uninsured. If somebody's uninsured, then we collect nothing from them if they're a resident of Washington. So, thank you for that and keeping everybody not having to pay out of pocket. To get into our future a little bit, we're currently in our building next door, built in 1978, not quite in the shape it was in 1978. It's in need of some structural repairs. We had an analysis done of the building and the property, and found the site's not quite big enough, the building's not quite sound enough to be able to expand on. So currently we're researching other properties in the area to try to find a better fit for us, something that's going to meet our needs a little better. We're currently researching a few different properties, haven't made a purchase yet, but wanted to make sure that we kept you guys in tune of everything that's going on with this. Our Board of Trustees is working with the Board of Trustees with the Fire Department because the property that we currently sit on is in a joint ownership. So they're working to find out what the best approach will be to either subdivide that or go from, you know, whatever works out best for both departments. We're looking to meet our needs of space. Currently, we have a little bit more equipment than what we have room for. And we're looking at any future needs we may have. If we have any additional resources, additional vehicles, or in the event that we need to keep staff overnight, we don't have any bunk rooms or appropriate sleeping area for that. So that's where we're at right now, where we're looking to head in the future. Just wanted to entertain any questions that you guys may have for us.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
That's most appreciated. I was just wondering, as I apologize for being late,
sure.
Did you say, like, if you purchased a new property, where do you get the money to purchase the property and the building, and how does that work?
Okay. To purchase the property would come from donations that we've already received. We've been saving up a bit for a property purchase. As far as the actual construction costs, building costs, as we get closer to knowing where we're going to be at, what we're going to be looking at, we'll be probably initiating some capital campaign in order to...
Okay.
Right. To achieve
Thanks
that.
Sure. So, are you looking forward to build a new building, or are you looking for a building that property has a building on it?
Being familiar with most properties in town, from being on them over the past 15 years,
right, yeah.
there's not a lot of appropriate buildings to meet our needs,
mm-hmm.
Especially when you get into some of the OSHA regulations, need for decontamination areas.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, emergency services building is very specific mm-hmm. to what the needs need to be. I'm not sure if there's one already constructed. We would probably be looking for new construction.
I'll be looking for new, yeah.
Yep.
Wow, it's a big project.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an idea of when you want to actually start moving along on this? Or?
Right now we are looking at a few different properties. I think that a lot of it is going to be dependent on when we find a property that's available
mm-hmm.
To what we need, and it's reviewed for appropriate, they're found to be appropriate to build on.
Mark, are all the properties in the borough?
No, we're looking both in Washington Borough and Washington Township. We do want to remain centrally located, so we're not going to be on Asbury Anderson Road. But we are, you know, looking a little bit outside of Washington Borough. Of course, with easy access to either Route 57 or
right.
Route 31, so that we're able to access all of the area quickly. But yeah, we're definitely looking at being centrally located for it.
And just as Councilwoman Gleavis said, the borough squad is outstanding, young man.
Thank you.
All the members there, we do appreciate you, sir.
And the building you have will not be able to be refitted to meet those OSHA requirements and other needs in the future?
The requirements that that we're finding is that we don't have enough parking. We don't have enough room on the first floor, and in order to build up to the second floor, we would need additional room to be able to make emergency exits and to meet other needs of that. We're also in a position where we don't have enough bays for all of our vehicles. We have 7 vehicles and 5 bays, and we don't think that we're going to be able to find that amount of space for the size of the building on that lot.
I actually pulled into your parking lot by mistake yesterday. And my initial reaction is, my God, how does anybody park here? It's like,
yeah,
I thought it was a lot bigger than that when you come in from this direction.
There's a little room in the back, but not much.
There is. A lot of the issue is being able to get emergency vehicles out.
Because mm-hmm.
once you have a few responders parked there, when we get into getting our third, fourth ambulance out, people are coming from home. And you don't want to be trying to get around everybody's vehicle with an ambulance
right.
to try and access Belvedere Avenue.
Yeah.
Anything else? Thank you very much, Mr. Van Dorsen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck
in the future.
Coming in.
Thank you.
And to him and Dad.
Okay, at this point I'd like to open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, and statements and testimony from guests.
So moved. Oh, yeah. I was paying attention.
Oh, hey, Rich. Rich McGuire, 234 West Washington. You're all aware of the bridge down by me, my property.
Yeah.
Hasn't been an issue because it's kind of been dry lately.
Well, today, it's today though, right?
Not today. Well, I've been in contact with Christine and actually Rich before that about the progress with the state. When they finished this in 2009, I can't remember the engineer's name from the state. The project manager since retired. That was for the state that actually worked on the bridge. But when that project was finished, you know, it was a big problem. It, actually,
right.
It was actually worse than when it was before the new bridge was installed. So we sat here. It was a like a kind of a community meeting with the impacted residents after the bridge was complete, and it was kind of a lot of finger pointing with the school and the engineer. And you know, I still remember when we had the meeting, the pre-construction meeting, and we were trying to tell them that everything looks great, but you're not addressing the problem, the water problem. And they kind of just discarded that. And then after the bridge was complete and we had our first flood, they actually really looked surprised that it didn't work. So, but I can't remember the engineer's name from the state. He stood right here and he said, this is a priority. It's going on the top of the stack. And that was in 2009. So it needs to be addressed. Because somebody's really going to get killed over there. The water goes over 57. People don't see it. It's a hydroplane, and actually it pushes them into the other lane. So,
Rich, was this some of that conversation that it was either the borough or the school, or wasn't the state?
Once it came down to it, you know, they started pointing fingers. The bridge was a million-plus over budget by the time it was finished. It was over a $2 million bridge. And the water goes on top of it. It doesn't go on the bottom of it.
Right.
So I think there was a lot of finger-pointing kind of to save face, but they were trying to blame it on a pipe on Stewart Street that was too big. But, I mean, it's been a growing issue. I mean,
the real problem was is that the water was originally coming down in that wooded area.
Correct.
Correct. And for some reason, it changed its course in between
they
your property
that pipe,
and the other ones.
That the school put in too big of a pipe, and it kind of forced a new path for that stream. You know, whatever it is.
Does that seem like to correspond to?
Probably, but yeah, but they need to redirect it, but now the DEP is involved saying you can't redirect an intermittent stream.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, it's just getting worse. And then, you know how I am with my property, I kind of keep it a little neat. I'm getting all that junk is at the end of my driveway. I mean, lawn chairs, hay bales, pots, you name it, it bottles. It collects right there. So, and I mean, the state workers, the guys that come out and clean it up, they're great. They're usually there before I even call. And they do. They keep an eye on it. But it's not their fault. It's like this bridge now came with a 4 or 5 person detail. Every time it rains, they got to go out there. So it's not, they're just kind of working around it. Nobody's fixing it.
Do you have any updates on that, Ms. Blanchard?
I don't. We haven't spoken about it.
Well, I mean, I think I brought it up maybe wintertime with you. But it hasn't really rained. You know,
didn't the state also say something that was going to cost like $3 or $4 million to fix?
I didn't hear any solutions. They kept pointing
the
fingers.
That's it. They just said that it was going to cost. I almost remember that they said it was going to cost almost $3 to $4 million, but there was no resolution as to what was going to happen.
Okay. I mean, what is your hope for us tonight here?
Wanted to bring it up, and maybe if anything, I'd like to get the gentleman's name from the state.
Who?
Huh?
Doofus.
Yeah. Somebody's got
first or last name.
Somebody's got to be holding this bag,
right.
And that's—I mean, otherwise, you're not going to get an answer. You got to point. It's got to be somebody's got to be responsible for this.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
I have a contact.
Okay.
I'll reach out to him.
There was a letter that was sent pre-construction. Had a meeting with all the homeowners, me, Mr. Gorab, and anybody else who wanted to come. And then there was a or post-construction meeting after the problems came to light. And it was the same gentleman in there. I started in 07, and it was completed in 09.
I think we should follow up your phone call with letters to them and to our local legislators, too, just to get them on top.
Probably kill two birds in one stone and ask about the 31 bridge. Well, we're out of two.
You'll get results.
Pretty stale over there as well.
All right. Well, somebody's going to get killed. Or really badly hurt.
That's always been a low spot. But before they did the bridge, didn't it go under?
Mm-hmm. The problem when they fixed it, what made it worse with this bridge, is the sidewalks and curbs were never there, and you had about a 12-foot shoulder that was sloping towards in front of Herman Gorup's property, if you know where that is, next to the funeral home. And the water used to run there, so it was a 12-foot kind of stream that ran on a road bed, but it was on the shoulder, so it was never an issue. Now you put shoulder, I mean, curbing and then sidewalk in, and actually encroached it. It pushes it now on my driveway and then directly out on 57. I'm going to say 75% of the water goes on 57 that comes down from the back of that property.
So your estimate is low, personally?
Well, maybe, you might be right, so. But anyway, that's it. Thank you.
Mr. Franks, welcome back.
Thank you. Mike Franks, I live at 43 Nunn Avenue in Washington Borough. Here to follow up on the activity of the Washington Hope Organization and the Trust for Public Lands efforts to preserve the infamous Baker Residential Tract, or whatever we like to call it. Of course, I think I've already stated, I believe that what they proposed is the most responsible use of that land that has come to the table in the 27 years that my property has abutted it. And given, as I think he mentioned in a recent letter to council, Mr. DeSanto's assessment of the current real estate scenario, it's a perfect timing as well to do something in that regard if we were to find the funding to purchase that property. So I'm just here to basically hopefully find that there's a status update on your efforts and where they are. For instance, has the possibility of the open space tax been deliberated, and where might that be?
At this moment, no, it has not been deliberated. I believe Ms. Hake brought it up at our last meeting and has followed it up with a letter to us, but we haven't discussed it amongst ourselves as of this moment.
Okay. And then also, are there any other proposed possibilities, anything that the council might have in mind, any other sources of funding or anything that's come across the table?
I guess,
and then the only other thing, I think there was a letter, just if I can look at Mr. DeSanto's letter, he did mention that Kathy Hake would be following up with a contact to Christine with the answers to certain outstanding questions. And
she did.
And I wonder if you can inform us of the content of that conversation or what it is that you've learned.
That might be something maybe we need to look at, see what we need, if there's anything we need to redact.
I see.
And then maybe
Oprah, the information tomorrow morning if you'd like.
I'm not really a big fan of Oprah, but I'm sorry, I don't even know how to go. Is that like a public information request?
Yeah.
Okay, I see. I'd be also willing to wait till the next meeting, I don't know how to go about that, frankly, but I could certainly, I guess.
Walk into Ms. Blanchard's office and she has the form.
Fill
it out. Or if you wanted.
All right, well, I might follow up in that manner then. Very good. If there's nothing else that you've learned or can update us on the status, then that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Edna Detlis, Fisher Avenue. I went to a meeting Wednesday, and it was brought up that the defibrillator doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Has anything been done?
The manager and I were speaking about that a little bit earlier this evening.
And
that's where it stands right now.
Where's that? Is it going to be fixed?
We'll look into what has to be done to it.
Well, if it can't get fixed, will it be removed?
I guess that would be up to you.
If I am not 100% sure what's wrong with it, I have to determine whether it's a battery. I have contact at BASF who discussed possibly donating one to the borough after last week's meeting. So I'm working with BASF on that as well.
Okay. Speaking of BASF, in the meeting it brought out that the state of New Jersey is very strict about companies leaving and cleaning up their land before they leave. So that was a concern of mine, because it is a chemical company, and I do live behind it, next to it or whatever. Anyway, so, okay.
Rudy Becerra, 191 Broad Street.
The last meeting, it was a real farce regarding the audit, specifically your actions in letting the auditor go, not answering our questions. But I've got a few questions of council members. Mr. Valentine, what is your thinking and feelings of the last meeting regarding the audit?
What do you mean, what are my feelings?
What are you thinking, your feelings? What do you think about?
Well, I thought that the audit showed that we were on the right track all along, doing what we were doing to clean up the bad business practices of the, in the past.
You think it was complete?
For the scope of services that the committee and the council engaged the auditor for, yes.
How do you do a forensic audit when you don't look at your revenues?
That was not included in the scope of services, from what I understand.
It was?
Yes, it was.
That's a forensic audit. You got to look at the money coming in as well as the money going out. Because where's it coming in from, and where's it going? Not just where it's going, okay? You made a comment that we spent $150 million over a five-year period. Yet it was brought up at the last meeting that the maximum we ever took in revenue was $19 million. Well, regardless, if you average that out at $20 million over 5 years, that's only $100 million. There's still a $50 million questionable disbursement. What do you think about that?
Well, we need to find out where the rest of the money is.
Great idea. Will anything be done tonight about that?
I don't know. Is this something we're going to be discussing?
That would be council's decision tonight.
Now, how do you think, how do you feel how the residents were treated regarding the audit?
They were told they had questions to submit the questions to the borough clerk.
The manager, that's right, and the CFO.
Right.
And they would answer. Yet these are two people that had nothing to do with the forensic audit. So how would you expect two people had nothing to do with the audit answer questions regarding the audit?
Well, I don't think they'd answer the questions directly. I think they're going to give them to the auditor. Is that what they're going to do?
Some of the questions they would be able to answer directly, as they were the ones who supplied most of the information for the audit.
But we had the questions ourselves of the audit that we weren't able to ask. Are you going to bring it up tonight and discuss this?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Do you think you're representing the residents of the borough of Washington then?
Yes.
And the 86% of the voters that voted for the forensic audit, you think you're representing them by indecisiveness, letting this go?
I think it has to be discussed by council. I cannot make decisions on my own.
That's true. You cannot.
Right.
But as a council, you can do something about it. Because you elected to run. You want to be a council member. You got elected. You're getting paid to represent us.
As are all the members of council. Mr. Boyle?
Not me.
No, you are correct. You are correct.
Yeah, that's right.
For a long time. Well, who wants to do it, Rudy? I'll help you out. Any way I can.
This was a disgrace last week, what Scott did, by not allowing us to ask questions of the auditor, by taking it on his own, without counsel's knowledge, that he dismissed the auditor. And he was quite smirk about it and cocky. And it infuriated all the residents. We have questions of Snyder and Company. We want to get those questions answered by the person that did the forensic audit. Why should we go to two people who had nothing to do with the audit except supply data, specific data, and not know why they were supplying it, except the auditor wanted it? You know, you're going to pay two people to spend their time to do the research to follow up with the auditor when that auditor should be here to answer the questions of his audit, his report.
Not being here, not knowing the reasons why, but is there anything unusual about asking the person that did the audit some questions? detailed?
I don't know that there's anything unusual about it, but there was no audience participation scheduled on the agenda.
No.
Mr. Schneider was reluctant to take questions from the audience, and I abided by that request.
Yeah.
We also
So it was really formality, mostly, what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
I would have no problem letting the audience ask a few questions of me. After all, we were paying Mr. Schneider for a service.
And there are some bills tonight for him.
Right.
Yeah.
If it ends up being closure for members of the community, I would say so be it. You know, I don't know why he was, I wasn't here either last meeting, I apologize, but being able to allow the forensic auditor to leave prematurely, I think that's, might be a mistake.
We could request his presence to come back.
To come to another meeting, maybe possibly.
You could, but
I would like to make that motion.
You would pay.
Hmm?
We would pay.
Well, let's see, okay, let's see what it's
I think, what we paid, 87.5 already, and we have $100,000 we took out, I think, should be able to
Well, here's the thing, too, you have two bills ahead of you tonight for him. As I suggested last week, you ask him to come back, if he doesn't come back, you don't pay him. And as far as I'm concerned, it was a breach of his contract and what he did and did not do.
Were you able, excuse me, I had asked the manager and mayor to consult with the attorney. Were you able to ask him, is that executive session? Or I wasn't sure.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
So the attorney regarding the contract?
Right, and, you know, I pointed out a couple of things, so I wasn't sure what happened, you know.
Is that one of the things we'll discuss in our executive today?
If you'd like.
Yeah, I'd like to make that motion to discuss this audit.
Well, we don't need a motion for that at this point. We'll go to the executive.
Find out what his motion is first.
Well, yeah. Well, to go into executive session to discuss
the question
contract
I had
about the
well, we can
forensic audit and what to do.
When we do the executive session, that can be part of it.
Will there be an audience participation after tonight's executive session?
We go back to open meeting after executive.
Can we request, if there's any questions by any of residents and presidents, to ask questions of council regarding their actions of executive session?
Council can make a motion to have a second audience participation after that if they so
I'll make that motion.
Well, that,
I mean,
that,
I
again, that
I
would be
know,
after we come out of the
after
executive.
Come out
after
of
come
I don't
out
know if we'll be able to answer your questions given the
right
conversation in executive
right
session, but I'll make the motion that we have a second audience participation.
Just you know what might be worthwhile, too, if there are other individuals besides Mr. Beshear who have comments that they want to make tonight before you go into executive session,
mm-hmm,
it might be worthwhile for everybody's benefit to have those comments, then the executive session, so that you can kick around whatever comments are presented by the public in your executive session, and then you come out and hopefully answer or respond to whatever questions.
So those comments or questions should be brought up now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's
some of the questions are, in the contract, he is was to meet with former, current employees, volunteers, and residents. A number of residents, former employees such as myself, contacted him, not once, but twice, no callbacks, okay? Why? Second of all, why didn't he look at the revenues coming in? Now, this is a small borough, $150 million dispersed over a five-year period. When the maximum we took in 2010 was $19 million, did council have a 50 plus million surplus in 2005 that council spent $50 million additional? That's questionable. Okay. His report, his opening comments was the investigation of audit, and his report reads like an investigation of an audit, not a forensic audit. Okay? Those are just some of the questions I have.
What is the difference you're making between what you said it reads just like an audit and not a forensic audit?
He made that comment in his report, that it's an investigation audit.
That was all part of conversations when we were interviewing the firms, and it was clearly stated, you know, that it would be an investigation, not an audit. And the representative that was from the concerned citizens, you know, they were a part of those conversations.
Right. But the referendum read it was to be a forensic audit. That's what the voters voted for, the residents wanted, a forensic audit. Not an investigation audit. Not an incomplete audit. We wanted a five-year audit, forensic audit. and that's how it reads. So if that deviated, you deviated from what the voters wanted. You did not fulfill your obligation.
Well, I would have to look back at his definition of investigation, you know, we were never...
Yeah, he did define it.
We were never under the impression we weren't getting a forensic audit.
I don't know the exact...
It was just his word.
Right, he defined an forensic audit investigation.
But again, it's not that we deviated from what was requested in the petition. It was his choice of what he was...
Yeah, he had a definition of what it comprised of, I don't...
Those are some of the questions I have. I have more.
Is there anybody else?
Well, I feel compelled to speak on this subject, although it's not what I'm here for. I'm a resident who is infuriated at the waste of council's time on this issue. I wasn't here at the last meeting, but I did read all about it, and I understand probably a lot of your time was taken. It's good that the citizenry got their audit, and a lot of money was spent on it, and I think there was a conclusion of that audit that there isn't a hint of any wrongdoing. I'm an auditor by trade, and I wouldn't necessarily give in to any request for... If I schedule interviews, it's part of the audit plan, and as an auditor, I pick and choose who I'm going to audit. I don't do financial audits. I do audits of another nature. Quality audits are all the same.
They're not all the same, sir.
Okay, well, that's right. We're splitting hairs between an investigative and forensic.
We are, and so it's really...
And I agree. I am totally comfortable that at the level of audit that was done, the amount of money that was spent, and where we are with that as we speak. And I regret that you have to use much more of your time on this issue. That's all. Thank you.
Come on up.
Relative to Rudy, I had a copy of Snyder's reply back to, I don't know if it was to you or to the manager, but in it, the agreement that he made was a forensic investigation, which is the same terminology as what he gave us 2 weeks ago, a forensic investigation. Yet the contract that I have a copy of that was attached to his letter said forensic audit. You know, and it's like, it's confusing because some of the points that were in his letter back to the borough or whomsoever stated he would look at, I believe he said certain accounts, which leads me to wonder why in the world a forensic audit would be certain accounts. Why wouldn't it be a complete detailed audit, which I thought was a forensic audit? We weren't looking for fraud. We were looking to see something different from what the state auditor had put in writing, which our manager had replied to, which it looks like Snyder went down line by line by line by line and just repeated it. We don't need it repeated. You even said it was the same thing
He did look at all accounts. Entire audit was completed, but what he did was in this document, because there are millions of different transactions and accounts, what they did was they highlighted those that were over $100,000, and those were the ones that...
Yeah, but it just looked funny that the auditors... The reply that the manager had sent to the state auditor, point by point by point, was the same thing that Snyder came up with.
That was a concern of ours from the get-go, that we would end up getting information that we were well aware of to begin with. Unfortunately, those were the red flags. Those were the major problems during those years.
There's another thing, too, that...
He didn't find anything else, which is the good news.
Well, yeah, I agree with that no fraud or no, you know, that's fine. But another thing also that he did that I, as a citizen, don't like is he pinpointed the open bid thing without asking, like Rudy said, he didn't ask anybody about why they wanted what they had or the time restraint that was put on to get the grant, to get the fire truck, why it was all rushed. And it wasn't because they were trying to be dishonest or just have it biased to one company. It was that's what they wanted. And it just so happened that whatever company it was had it. So it's like...
You're exactly right. It's exactly right, what you just said.
Huh?
You're exactly right.
About what?
What you just said. Was a great description of what occurred.
Oh.
In connection with the fire company.
Yeah, well, it, you know, it's like a black eye to us, and we don't deserve it.
I agree.
I mean, we're not...
It's a black eye to the fire company, which is unfairly imposed on the...
Yes. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Now, I know this may pertain to the comments of directing the questions to the CFO and to our manager, but I just wanted to double-check something here. And since you wanted to know anything we might have in mind before you go to executive session, I figured I'd bring it up.
Penny, we can't hear you.
Yes, ma'am. You brought up the question of certain accounts. I went back to my notes for when we had the review regarding what exactly a forensic audit is, what would it entail, and all those particular details. And one thing the majority of the people in this discussion at the time stated was they didn't want one area reviewed, they wanted all areas reviewed. And if I recall correctly, Schneider did say that he was going to do an overall review, a very general overall review, and then dig down into certain areas of concern to the citizenry, as well as the council. 2 points. Did anyone directly ask him to address a specific area, council-wise, because I know he refused to talk to the citizens?
We had no contact. We had absolutely no contact. To my knowledge, nobody.
Yeah, and just do that. The structure. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Just to help out a little bit, the structure of his contract, and I'm not defending his performance in terms of this issue, but just so we all are on the same page, it actually called for 3 phases. You've gotten phase 1, okay? Mm-hmm. The borough can pay for phase 2 if it wants to, but what he essentially says is exactly what you just said, which is I'll look at generally, then I'll dig down if there's areas of concern, and then I'll give you a phase 1 report, which this is, and if you want, and you want to pay me to do it, I'll dig down even further, except I have to be paid to do that. Mm-hmm. So that's where, from the council standpoint, that's where it stands right now.
Okay.
Whether they want to do that or not, who knows.
But back to phase 1 then. How did he pick and choose what areas were of concern? I know a lot of people are concerned about the DPW, others recreation, others different things, but I'm in the 2 some odd years I've been coming to council meetings, and I missed a few this year more than last year. Last year I only missed 2. I don't recall anyone complaining about street improvements. I know people were complaining about the DPW. I know some people were complaining about recreation. I never heard a word about anyone complaining about the truck, the fire truck, or the dump truck? The other one? The dump truck. I never did. What made him choose those 2 particular areas to focus
again,
on?
Again, it was expenditure categories over $100,000 that he dug deeper into, and those were the findings. Of all the ones listed, those were the ones that had concerns or issues.
And his expertise was what caused him,
okay.
Also caused him to dig deeper into various things.
He also noted on page 1 of his packet here that he had opinions, and based on their opinions they reviewed it. So I just want to make sure that if his procedure was to just choose the 100,000 and he wasn't swayed to pick particular areas.
I hope he wasn't swayed. That would defeat the whole purpose of the audit.
But he also said he would take in people's recommendations for areas to review. That's what I'm concerned about.
I don't recall that.
He did. That was one of the things in my notes that I noted, was that he did bring that up, that if the public wanted or somebody specifically wanted an area that may show signs of inaccuracies or just needing clarification, he would delve further into the area. Yes, sir.
I know you're part of the concerned citizen group, and so is Christina.
I'm just a citizen.
Well, Christina Murkowski and Bob Vialba were interviewed by him for some length of time. We haven't built a group. Did anybody ever reach out to them and ask them what he asked them?
Does anyone want to state that?
I think Bob is the one, and Christine should be the one to answer that, because...
Because they never told us what they said.
Right.
We didn't know.
At least they didn't tell me.
Until after the meeting, when Bob came back to a group meeting and told us that he wanted more input from the residents. And we started calling and got no call back, especially after the September meeting you had with him.
If that's your concern, just those two.
Right upset.
Well, nobody knows what...
You name two individuals, ask them, because I can't attest to what they know or what they don't know, because neither of them have shared that particular information with me. I can't verify or deny. It would be wrong of me to do so. So
nobody from the Concerned Citizen Group has talked to anybody about anything that they were talked to about.
I can attest that I did not get that information. Right. You want to ask them? Ask them individually. I can attest that I didn't get details.
Because I know that he spent a reasonable amount of time talking to both those people.
He chose not to talk to me after two phone calls. Sir, I'm sorry.
The only thing you have to remember is that every time that he did talk to somebody, it was going to be money that he was charging. He's consulting with you, right?
But did he charge for talking to employees here?
Yeah, it was all part of the 87.
Then it was included in... the contract. The inclusion in the contract was discussion. Discussion with...
It was all billable time.
And I think the way he put it, and I could be wrong with the...
All right, so we're looking for questions to go into executive session with. So that would be a good question, actually.
The second page of the contract reads that he's to interview residents, volunteers...
Only if he needed to. He didn't have to.
But when he got calls from the residents, and he elected to ignore them. Not one, not two, not three, not four.
Sir, did you have something to say? Did you want to share with us?
Not with you, no. I had a conversation with the mayor.
Okay. I thought it was pertaining to what I was saying.
No.
Okay.
Good timing, Bob.
Would you like to ask him, or shall I continue?
John had the question,
yes.
So maybe John wants to ask Bob.
I didn't know
that
he's here. Anybody had talked to either Bob or Christina after the accountant had met with the two of you, and what was the result of the meeting? Because I don't know anything, and apparently nobody else knows either.
I'm sorry. What was
when the
forensic
auditor spoke with you and Christina? And I was just, she was saying, you know, wondering about people being interviewed. And the question I asked was, well, did you ever ask either Bob or Christina what the accountant discussed with them when he met with them?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
So
He had asked if he could meet at one point, and I said, well, are you wanting to meet with me, or are you wanting to meet with the citizens group? And he said, well, no, I wanted to meet with you, get some insight. And I said, well, I don't know what I can provide an insight. I'd probably suggest you talk to some council members that are current or former council members, that they might have more insight as to what's gone on, what you might have questions about. I'm more of a, more of an organizer in terms of the citizens group and not so much specific answers to questions. So I said, would you mind if I asked a former council member? And he said, no, I guess that would be okay. He said, but I just wanted to meet with you and just one other person there. And I said, okay, fine. And he met with us on a date that we prearranged, and he began to ask, I honestly don't recall specifics, but about past expenditures, things that went on, and I was a little bit out of a loss for specifics, but we provided as much information as we could. We suggested at that point to probably talk with a number of people that are employees currently with the borough or work employees of the borough during the times of this investigation that's supposed to take place, and the audit that's supposed to take place. And we strongly suggested to meet with them because, you know, I heard from a lot of people that were former employees, former council members, current council members, current employees, that seemed to have a whole lot more answers than I could provide. I strongly suggested that he meet with them.
You don't remember
does that answer your question?
Well, I was just curious because you said you had discussed past expenditures. What were the past expenditures that were discussed?
I don't really specifically recall, but it was a former council member who had privy to a lot of information that happened historically with the council and what went on during a number of issues that were voted on, and certainly that she provided what she could to the best of her ability at that time. Specific numbers or things of that, I don't really recall. I advise them really to discuss with people who have the answers.
Bob, just a couple of questions.
Sure.
Because I didn't even realize that you had spoken to the auditor.
Mm-hmm.
But did you speak with him
telephonically
or in person?
I'm sorry.
Did you speak to him on the phone or?
No, he came over to my office.
Oh, he did. So how long did he spend over there talking to you?
I think he spent probably at least a good hour.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay. And so he only basically just discussed these few items of expenditures, and then you kind of suggested he speak to some other people.
I suggested he speak to a lot of people who seem to have a lot of insight, input, answers, more than I could provide.
Okay.
Bob, when you spoke to him, did Christine Wachowski?
Yes.
Is there, and so she could provide, you know, an insight from being
yes.
a councilwoman, and she's very familiar with financial matters.
She seemed to be very, very much so.
She was the finance chairman for many years in terms of when she was on the council, right?
I guess.
That's my recollection.
Yeah, I don't recall.
And
but
she has a pretty good handle, I recall, when she was on the council about spending, and she was sort of overseeing the spending, as I recall, right?
I don't know. I'm assuming so.
I don't think it was many years.
I don't know.
I'll be corrected if I'm off base. But she was on there for at least three or four, I think.
Could I ask a question? Because I came in a little bit late. What was the point of the question itself? I'm not sure if I'm following you.
Actually, maybe.
I was talking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I had a particular question, and Mr. Valentine asked me about the meeting.
Right.
I know
we
I didn't meet with him.
Did you have questions that there were an answer for? And I was wondering because, you know, everybody was involved with this, and I know you and Christina spoke to him. And basically, I just asked, well, did anybody reach out to Bob DeElba or Christina and ask them what he had asked your input on?
Yeah, I think it probably would have been more appropriate because from what my understanding is that a number of people had approached a willingness to discuss things with him that may have had some pertinent information and were denied access to the discussion with him. I have no idea why. I did not further try to reach him. I didn't want to initially when you voted as a council and that when the contract was passed, I said I'd be happy to speak to you. He said, well, I'm not sure if that would be correct in terms of the investigation. I said, hey, You do what you've got to do. You're the professional. I don't know what you've got to do. You know what you've got to do. You know what you were hired for. And it's a full forensic audit going back those years. So do what you got to do. And I never contacted him further. He contacted me. And that's when I suggested, well, if you're going to meet with me alone, it's going to be a wasted meeting because I don't retain a lot of the information that everybody might have privy to. I wasn't on council. I wasn't voting for things. So basically, he was offered really to speak to almost current counsel, past employees, current employees. I don't know if he contacted any of them. From my understanding, he didn't. Which seems to me, wouldn't you want all the information you could possibly get?
I'm sorry, Bob.
I'm sorry.
He said that there were missing information from 2006 to 2008, so I agree with you on that.
Did you meet at the same time as Christina?
Yes, I invited her to the meeting.
So this was like a group meeting, the three of you?
It wasn't a group meeting in terms of a citizens group, because he didn't ask for that.
No, that's not what I meant. But it's just the three of you all attended at the same time. He didn't interview separately.
There were two others with him. I think he had two assistants with him, and Christina and myself. We sat in my office and discussed.
So that was it. So one meeting, one time with both of you present at the same time. Okay, now I got a picture of what it was.
Yep.
Did he ever request a representative from the citizens group, to your knowledge, to attend?
No.
Because that would probably have been the best idea, in my opinion.
It would have been a great idea.
To have an individual from the citizens group, and then they could follow up with everybody in the group themselves.
Mr. Jim, it would seem to me, if you're running an investigation or an audit,
right,
that you would try to gather as much information as you can to find out what you can from everyone you can.
Absolutely.
And then you sort through that, and being somebody that knows what he's doing, you would be able to cut through a lot of the wasted stuff,
right,
and get to the point.
Right.
Why that wasn't done, I have no idea. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I agree.
But I wasn't going to press the issue with the man because
he
was the professional, I was not, and basically it's offered, it's there, but no, we did not as citizens group.
Okay, thank you.
I was just curious to find out what information was shared with concerned citizens as well.
Something that occurred to me during his presentation, and that noted serious disconsideration for the fact that we are his clients, was the fact that we asked, he said that there was no information from 2006 through 2008, May 2008, in electronic format. So he went and got the paper copies. And he spent 500 man hours to have it re-entered into a database. When asked for that information, he said, unless you have a forensic database, there's no way you could get that information. Knowing the fact that I've worked with five different databases, you can always export to Excel or to a rich text file and import into another database. Thank you for him for taking the time out to make an electronic database years 2006 through 2008, which we're missing. Thank you. Great. Now we have the information. Can we have it? His response was no. You do not have a forensic database that could utilize that information. It's a database. Databases are easily transportable. Act, Goldmine, Access, Recware, Vision. These are all databases I've worked with, and I can easily import and export. I might have to do an intermediate step and go to Excel and then import and export. But when I walked out there and I asked him, he said, no, you can't have access. Not me, the council.
Yeah, I'm on that
the
export.
Town. He said he could not give it to us. That's wrong. That's wrong. We paid for it.
So on my question.
We paid for it. And that bothers me that he wasn't willing to give it to you. I don't want it. Okay? This is private town information. But the town paid for it. The town should get it. Especially that would give us a better benchmark to see where we stand in the future 5 years. We have 5 years prior. Let's compare the next 5 years. And we can do a cross-comparative analysis. And then we'll know where we stand.
Actually, it would be public. If you got it, it would be public information, too. It's not private.
Okay. Well, I know some of it is private. People's payments, employees' salaries and pensions and things like that. So I didn't want
to. Well, that's all. It's most. Let's not quibble about the details.
Okay.
But in general, it would be.
Okay. So that's something you guys, above all else, we paid for it. Let's get it. that just bothers me, especially if you, you know, we went through all that effort. He went through all that effort, and he wasn't willing to give it to us as an entity. I reading this on page one, I have a question about what he called third-party disbursements. I don't know what that means in reference to what how he analyzed it. Page one, under scope for service, last sentence. Disbursements to third parties, plural. Did that include employees? Did that include just externals, professionals? Those are important to give an overall view to see where we fit. Because if his criteria was meeting $100,000, perhaps if those things were kept separate, that might have affected his overall analysis. Something to concern.
Would third-party disbursements be like escrow?
Everything we have. Payroll, escrow,
okay.
professional. All the voucher lists. That's
yeah,
correct.
That's what my understanding is. In other words,
I don't see him, so I don't know. That's
yeah,
I just want to make sure.
Other than internal transfers.
It's everything.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Good. He stated on page two that one, two, three, four, five, fifth paragraph down in the middle, we requested the borough's mapping of charts of accounts from the old system to the new system, so we have some assurance that accounting codes were consistent from old system to new system. And it goes on to that he spoke to the current employees and nobody could find that. Now, I honestly don't know who worked between 2006 and 2008. I don't know if they are current employees or somebody had left. But if I wanted that mapping structure, the field analysis structure, I would have gone to, if there wasn't a prior employee, I would have spoken. He said he did not speak to any prior employees. He also said, if I recall correctly, he did not speak to any prior managers. And of all people, they should know what the mapping was. I mean, that would have saved him a lot of trouble if he could have spoken to a prior manager to say, do you by chance know where this mapping is? It's usually a 1 to 2 page document.
Was there any turnover in the finance office during those times that you're aware of, employee-wise?
No, no one has left.
Okay.
But just my understanding of the mapping, Penny, is that the state has a chart of accounts and it's consistent through each municipality. So whether we're using First Bite or Edmund, the mapping is the same.
Okay, he said that it wasn't because
right,
the accounting codes
the only
weren't related.
I can think would be different is where one CFO versus another may have charged something. But the chart of accounts, the mapping, is the same for each municipality.
He made it seem like it was a detriment to his analysis.
I agree.
And that concerned me. There are basic accounting codes, municipal, state, federal, and practically the average business has standard accounting codes. You may call them a little bit slightly different things. But he went through a whole section here where he was talking about they did their best to correlate one field to another field, one accounting code to another accounting code. And it seemed like he spent a lot of time on that, but if it's supposed to be standardized, where was the variation? Why did it cost take so long? And if the cost took so long, as you said, cost money.
I agree. The only thing that could be different is styles of charging things to one account versus another, depending on who was in charge of that. Time.
But did he talk to you? Because you're the only one here I can ask about that.
About this? No.
About the accounting and relation, cross relations. No. Okay.
Just on that same note, Christine, do you know if any former CFOs were contacted?
I don't know.
You don't know how you
don't. he had mentioned, Mr. Schneider had mentioned when he was here during the bidding process. He had mentioned that if needed, he would go further back in history to receive clarification if something was of issue. And he made a note here with the DPW, and I, to be honest, don't know, haven't tracked what was going on with the DPW, so I really don't know much, so bear with me. But he noted in here, page 3, third paragraph from the bottom, ordinances 15-2000 and 8-2005 occurred prior to the period of our procedure and therefore have not been included or considered for the purpose of this report. But he utilizes those numbers, as you can see above, in his analysis and procedure in calculating what went awry. If I were a forensic accountant, and I've done this in my own history, we're trying to find out what happened to something, I would go as far back as would be needed for clarification. Yes, it probably would cost him a little bit of money, but if he were to say, I spent another month on this, or another week on this, and I know for sure that this is accurate, I would be happy. Because then we can state for a fact, this is true. There would be no ambiguity. And you must, if you have any concerns, go towards the direction where there are gray areas because you haven't investigated them. And then open the door, turn on the light, and see. Just take a peek. And it just bothers me. Again, I know nothing about it, but this just bothers me that he didn't go back. He didn't. He included them in his sums, but he didn't go back. He should not have included them in his sums if he wasn't going to do the work on them. He really shouldn't have. And that is another question that I would pose to you guys to ask him. Why did you not, but why did you include it? When I was doing scientific work, I had to include anomalies in my analysis, unless they were significantly insignificant. But I had to include them. They may have been strays here or there, but I had to include them. But I noted they were strays. That's all you needed. All you need to do was just say, okay, 2000, 2005. Okay, let me go to 2005. I started at 2006. Let me go to 2005 and just see. It's just the one ordinance prior. I'm not saying he had to go all the way to 2005. He could have just stepped back 1 year. That is a note of concern. Now, I can't find my copy of the contract, so I really don't know what years were specified on the contract, but I was brought to my attention that was on the website that the years noted during the FAQ section on the website regarding the audit said that the years to be analyzed, I believe, were 2004 through 2008. Now, I could not find my copy of the referendum, so I don't...
Are you saying the town website says that the audit was going to be 2004 to 2008?
FAQ?
Frequently asked questions and answers, and he repeatedly referred to 2004, 5, 6, 7, 8. I have to look back. I don't know. The audit was for 2006 or 2010, and that's what this is. That's what the referendum said.
The referendum said.
Notice it wasn't when he was here.
The
this, this, little observation.
Yeah, the referendum language, I think I have to have right in front of me here, says, "Shall the governing body of the Borough of Washington be required to contract the services of a qualified auditing firm to conduct a complete forensic audit commencing in the year 2011 and going back 5 fiscal years of all of the municipal financial transactions and procedures?"
And that was the language. After the frequent questions and answers, that.
The contract was after?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was, you know.
Well, could the website committee look at what she's referring to on the website for this, what the facts are?
But I mean, essentially, this is the audit. I'm sorry, this is the referendum, so that's what we.
So, you know, but they're saying something on our website, says the year 2014.
It was on the website. She's not sure if it's currently on the website. It was on the website. She had printed it out. You don't have it with you. No.
So it could have been before of the contract.
Right.
The audit was based on what the referendum was, so.
Yeah, that was just.
Our website is outdated. We'll update the website.
One other question. And I believe that's my last one. I don't know what the allowances are or disallowances are for moving funds out of trust funds and moving funds out of sewer capital versus operating funds.
You mean the interest fund?
Yes. So I don't know what,
well,
whether they were allowed or not.
It's allowable, but what you're
between which?
It can go between any of them, right?
Even a trust fund that's isolated, that's created for an isolated function? I just want to know.
Honestly, I can't give you 100% answer on that. Me personally, I would never move money out of trust. It would come out of the capital current for either capital or current funds, sewer operating, never a trust.
Okay.
You have to, you can do it, it's allowable.
Okay.
Dick, do you know if trust funds are dedicated or no?
What do you mean they're dedicated?
Are they,
if there's a dedicated
money out of
trust
fund. As one specific center.
I defer to the manager on that, I can't speak.
I think they are. I'm 90% sure that they are dedicated.
That's
I would never personally move money out of trust to fund something that's kind of current.
But are you allowed to?
Well, when you say trust fund, there's different. There's.
Right.
If
he's
you
got
have
three listed here, so that's why I was asking.
Yeah. But I can get 100% clarification on that for you.
Okay.
But as far as moving money between operating for sewer and capital for sewer,
sewer to general.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. But it should be paid back at the end of the year.
As long as it's zero balance. A zero transfer, net transfer.
Yes, exactly.
Penny, can I ask you a question? I thought your questions were very good. So is your concern that somebody put money in their own pocket? In other words, took a check?
No.
Well, let me set the stage. And then, so to try to get people to understand exactly what a full forensic audit actually means, because it's kind of a nebulous term. So there's two issues you could look at. You could look at, were people stealing money, okay? And I think any taxpayer would be very concerned that that was happening, right? I mean, paying up taxes, you certainly don't want it to go into somebody's pocket. The second issue is, from a structural standpoint, were the procedures that were being followed good practice, right? And if not, could those be improved? And I guess the third thing, and maybe this is the most important thing, did the borough lose any money as a result of any kind of financial irregularities, right? Aren't they really the issues?
Yes, I think that's everybody's issues, but my particular pet peeve is just following procedure. I'm a stickler for trying to follow procedure, the law, the procedure.
Yep.
I don't know, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah. But I guess my question is, in terms of thinking about the audit that was done here, this forensic audit, whatever that means, I think it's important for everybody to think about what the goals that people were trying to achieve by the audit process. Because unless you understand what goals you wanted to achieve by the audit process, it's awfully hard to measure whether the product that you got back was consistent with those goals. And I think part of the process here is, and part of the issues were, the term forensic audit is, you know, everybody has their own definition of what forensic audit means. And the forensic auditors have their own.
I hate to interrupt you, but hold on. Really, there is a definition of forensic audit. People use the term forensic audit in general, specific terms. It's an audit to find errors and problems in an accounting, you know, format, whatever, if it's government, company, whatever. People, I guess, there's certain standards that they have to
I don't think you're right, to be honest with you. I don't think there are standards in that regard.
Okay.
I don't think you could go to a statute book or a regulation or a regulation of the accounting and say, okay, what's the definition of a forensic audit? I think you'd get every different auditor would have different definitions. And there are different categories you use. For instance, if you think somebody is stealing, you go out and you get a forensic audit. On the other hand, if you think your procedures and practices are inadequate, you get a forensic audit.
Let me ask you a question.
Those are two different categories. I'm not arguing with you.
Okay.
I'm just telling you what, you know.
If you're a company and not a government body, how would you go get a forensic audit?
You go out and get a forensic audit, just like you guys did.
How would you look for a forensic auditor?
There are people who hold themselves out as forensic auditors. Look, in every accounting, in every large accounting firm, there's a group that holds themselves out as forensic auditors. And what they're doing is looking at a different from a general audit. A general audit does a section of like 10 to 15% of the bills, all right? It doesn't guarantee you that somebody's not stealing or that the processes aren't wrong, but it looks at the general thing and hopes that it picks things up. A forensic audit oftentimes would be looking at every single bill, every single disbursement,
right?
Right? Now, that wasn't what this guy agreed to do. I'm not defending him, and I'm not telling you, you know, I think the points Penny are making are excellent. Okay,
right.
She's right.
I did too.
And, you know, those are questions that I think are legitimate questions. But I think what I said before, though, you have to kind of define what you wanted in a forensic audit to see if you got what you wanted here. And unless you kind of do that, you're going to be at loggerheads in terms of deciding whether what you got was what you wanted or whether it wasn't what you wanted.
Right, but I thought we went through that process with Schneider and the other, actually, the other auditor groups, you know, in the interviewing process.
Well, we did, and in order to have more of a depth of scope, the prices went from $350,000 to $500,000. We had $100,000, so we tried to get as much done as we could for the money that we had to spend on the audit. That's why I think this person did a good job. He basically said,
we had more than one. Well, because, okay, I'm sorry I had to have to step in here, but, you know.
No, you're not sorry, you're just being rude.
Well, maybe I'm being rude, but
all right,
I'm sorry.
Let's be polite.
Okay. I would like to just say that we did have more than one ordering firm that came in less than $100,000.
Right, which would not have done even what Schneider did. They would have done less.
Not, that's not true. As a matter of fact, they did
Schneider
present themselves.
The
excuse me,
Schneider was
but
the
they
fifth.
Did.
Yeah, but
they were the lowest.
Others had less than $100,000.
Right,
bid. 95,
yeah,
I think.
They
it was.
That's right.
They weren't doing what we needed, though.
So well, they did present themselves as a forensic auditing firm, as opposed to Schneider, which did not. Okay, there's a big difference. Okay, so they said they can do a forensic audit, but if you're getting to specifics as to the definition of this nebulous term, then...
Right. He calls it a forensic audit.
He calls it a forensic investigation, not a forensic audit.
No.
So, I mean, if you're, you know, going to split hairs over terminology,
observation.
Then that's what we're going to do.
Actually, I believe
okay?
three times.
That
an
was
interesting
my point.
Observation.
I'm sorry for interrupting you, John. Go ahead.
Michelle, do you have anything else?
Yes. Because he brought it up. Just for clarification, Mr. Cushing. Everyone who voted had their own particular reasons for voting for the audit. You noted three. My thing, my particular rule of law was I was looking for flaw, not fault. You had fault primary.
Mm.
flaw. Flaw in procedure, flaw in action, inaction, whatever. Flaw. And that's what we needed to know. Where the flaws were. Okay, and then we take that information, we figure out, okay, how can we amend this for future practice? Where does this need to be changed?
Mm-hmm.
That is the area that I need to know is being, so that I know that my government body is doing what I asked of it to do.
That's a fair point.
Flaw, not fault. Whenever I've been asked, I have always said, I want to know what the procedures are. You know, if there were to be litigation, that's for somebody else to address. I do not know the law. I do know some of the practices, so I can strictly note where there are flaws. And that's what I'm going through here. His abstract here is specified in certain areas. Again, as you said, the $100,000 marker. But he does add in the other areas in the back. I have to go through the details of the math just to see that everything is tallied correctly. But as of right now, I can't see, other than those areas where there were flaws that I have mentioned, my questioning areas, I cannot see that the math is incorrect because I have not done the math yet. Hopefully I will shortly. Okay. I can just state that the document seems to be whole, but missing parts. Whole in the way he wanted to represent it, but missing the minutia that would make the majority of us happy. Perhaps that was because he didn't speak to us, that was because he didn't get all the information because it was missing. I would like the opportunity to ask him why he chose certain things and geared his analysis towards those areas. And that's all I wanted to know, was what were the parameters to which he directed his investigation.
That seems like a very reasonable request to me.
But he refused to talk to me. Well. And that's the problem. He refused twice. That is all I have to say.
Mr. Palaba, the gentleman and this gentleman both were looking before you.
Rick Feldman, 19 Prosper Way. You brought up a very interesting point. It's an accounting investigation, not an audit. I believe that you yourself read what the referendum was, and it was supposed to be an audit. So now what do we do? Excuse me?
That's what the bid specifications.
So now what do we do? Mm-hmm. That's not what we, 86% of the people in the town voted for. That's a question I have for all of you. What are we going to do? In the broad sense. And then if you just go to page number 17. Since these procedures do not constitute an audit, review, or compilation of the financial statements of the Borough of Washington in accordance with generally accepted auditing or review standards, we do not express an audit or review opinion on the items above. So he's not giving you an audit. He's not giving any of us an audit.
I think that's the generic statement that they like.
No, it's not. It's specific, Janine. It's specific because it gets back to what he put on the front page. It's not an audit. Read the next line. I'll go to the next one.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Okay.
I think that's a good question to ask him.
Had we performed additional procedures or had we conducted an audit? Had we conducted an audit? Review or compilation of the financial statements of the Borough of Washington in accordance with generally accepted auditing and review standards, other matters might have come to our attention that would have been reported to you. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. That being said, who is responsible for putting together the scope of work that allowed him to spend at least 40% of this audit on something that had already been audited by the state twice? What are we auditing the fire department for again? That was a waste of money. This council, this town's already been lambasted enough for that. Yet he spent 40% of his time doing that, and you guys allowed it?
He was doing a thorough, supposed to...
Someone had to be watching what this... He was supposed to be giving you progress reports, was he not?
There was no oversight, Rick, whatsoever.
The manager didn't have any oversight?
I don't know.
We weren't going to take his investigation.
No one's asking you?
He was looking into all those years. That's what happened.
Janine, don't you think it was a waste to spend 40% of his time on something that had already been audited twice by the state?
Some of us didn't want an audit to begin with, because this is what was going to come out of it.
Really? You think that's it? Okay. Interesting perception. On page number...
Hang on a second.
Page number 11. He talked about the borough park improvements, including the pool. He states that there were three ordinances totaling $713,000. Christine, just off the top of your head, we didn't get $713,000. We got an ordinance for $283,200, and then the borough requested and passed an ordinance for $150,000. This is simple math that he's screwing up. If he can't get something this simple correct, what about the rest of this informational piece of investigation that he gave us?
Are you saying, Rick, that...
I'm saying that it's wrong.
That we didn't respond to those
No.
In what, 2001 and 2004?
Not 2006. You bonded the $283,200 for the Green Acres loan.
But not 2001 and 2004?
No, 2001 I believe was right, because I think that was the initial pool consultations that were done. But the $402,000, we never bonded for that. So if he can't get something as simple as that right, how do we know anything else in this thing is right? And the last thing I'll leave you with, when the and I know this because I was on recreation, when the commission was disbanded, it was the borough's responsibility to set up individual accounts for each of the activities because they had to be self-funded. It was not done. Yet it's nowhere in here. Nowhere in this report does it determine that the flawed practices as it dealt to recreation were involved. And one last thing.
So in other words, just to clarify, Rick, that's self-funded meaning, so give me an example, right?
If softball needs $1,000 to function and it only takes in $800 in fees, then it cannot happen.
Okay.
Okay, and you can't take money from basketball to pay for softball.
So those are dedicated.
That's correct. Right. They were supposed to be dedicated as soon as the committee was, the commission was abolished and the committee was established. And your own borough manager said that it wasn't. Obviously, he didn't bother to check into your minutes either. And the last thing I'd like to know is, on the interfund transfers, he states...
Which page?
Page number 7. And you guys know this because you've already talked about it. The failure to fully repay such interfund advances by the end of each calendar year may be a violation of local fiscal affairs law, which we would defer to council for evaluation. Who's council?
That was a question I had too, Rick.
Okay, because if it's illegal and we know it's happening, what are we doing about it?
Well, the question is, council, that's me.
Right, well, is it you or is it some attorneys in the state someplace?
No, I think he's referring to me, but normally what I would say is, hey, this is an auditor question. They make the determination as to whether or not the thing is consistent with the fiscal affairs
According to what he's written, they did not abide by those standards, well, okay? But again, who's gonna look into this?
Well, okay, you're absolutely right. I have that noted. I have that highlighted in my report. What am I saying that for?
But I think that you got to remember that the citizens of this municipality voted for an audit, not an investigation.
Excuse me, Deputy Mayor Keith Gibbons, Oxford Township. Can I have a copy of whatever they're all addressing? before I go tonight, just to look.
No, we don't get stuff that people can watch the chapter. We have a little exception to the open public meeting. Of course you can, it's a matter of public record.
It is available on our website if you'd like to go and get it there.
There's no copies tonight, you can just look at it before I go, or?
I have extras in my office.
Before you take a second?
Sure.
Please.
Just a minute, call the recess, yeah.
If you want to take a minute and grab it for him, you know, fine.
$3 a page, isn't it?
Well, he can look at it here for free.
Nobody else, $5.
We'll continue with the audience portion after the manager comes back with that information.
Did you get a five-minute break?
If you don't want to take a minute and grab it.
That's two.
That's wrestling all of them.
Mr. Delava, Mrs. Powell, you can go after Mr. Delava.
I just want to ask one question. Whatever Penny was asking for that she said we paid for, is the council going to vote tonight or discuss tonight in the future that we can claim that he has to give this to us because it was part of the report?
There's going to be an executive session tonight, and I believe that things of that nature will be discussed in there. So I can't give you a definitive answer on that particular question.
And as long as she said that it was, that she can get it, I mean, she knows how to do those things.
What do you mean, the record?
No.
We have.
Database from the auditor.
We have paper copy of it, we don't have the electronic copy of it, and that's what she's referring to.
And it's, she says she could get it for it.
Well, it should be able to be imported into any database or an Excel sheet, like she says. Yes. Sure.
Bob Del Elba, 86 West Stewart Street. I apologize for being late. I was at my godchild's graduation. It's still going on, but I felt it was imperative to get here tonight. So my apology, and you may have covered this. I really have a specific question. I also believe there's tremendous gaps between what we contracted for and what we received, including writing the title, which it becomes clear, and then for him stating that it's not an audit. Well, when we go back and look at what we hired him for, if you look on the first page of his contract, it lays out about four things right there specifically, and I know one of them was never even touched, which had to do with salaries, incomes, and stuff like that. So it wasn't what you contracted for. Now, normally if I get a contract and I put it out on to somebody that goes to bid and they spell it all out and they don't perform, I don't pay them. Or at least I say, get it, finish the job and you can get your last payment. So there may be something to consider. I don't know. But not having the opportunity to discuss this with the man, he may have legitimate reasons for it. I don't know. What upsets me, and this is the second part of the whole issue, and again, I was completely out of state when you had the gentleman come, but it seemed to me that the meeting came on rather fast. Okay, without good circulation to the public that this was going to take place, number one. The fact that we had an audit to begin with wasn't a council vote. It was a citizen's vote, as we pointed out. Okay, it was a referendum put on by the citizens, 86% of which voted for this audit. Not having citizen representation, or at least an open public meeting where citizens could ask the auditor questions, seems to me, number one, discourteous, unfair, and political suicide. It really doesn't make sense, and I do not understand why he was dismissed and not came back to answer public questions. And I address it to you, Scott, because I know you dismissed him, so I don't understand. If you can explain it to me, that may be helpful, because I would think the citizens and the council openly at a public meeting would have a right to know stuff.
Again, Mr. Schneider had expressed that he was reluctant to take questions from the audience. I said, if that's what you'd like, that's fine. There was no public hearing or audience portion for the forensic audit at that point. We had just gotten the document
that day,
as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody really had a chance to go over it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I didn't see where anybody would ask any, be able to ask any questions, because you couldn't have a chance to digest it.
Mm-hmm.
And I respected his wish not to take questions from the audience.
Well, I appreciate that response, because I really didn't have a clue. And if you're saying that, then I would think wisdom would be, now that people have a chance to digest this, whether he doesn't want to address questions or not, we hired the guy.
okay? It's mandated you have to answer questions. It was a public vote. It wasn't just a council decision that got this gentleman to come in and do the audit. I would think he owes it to the public and to you in an open session with enough announcement ahead of time, enough time to digest it, enough time maybe perhaps for him to prepare questions that may be sent along ahead, but not just exclusive to those questions, but open it up to the public so that people can at least ask. And I understand the courtesy, and I appreciate that, but maybe we should call him back. Because obviously there's a lot of discontent, a lot of questions, a lot of unanswered things, including right in the title. It's not what you were hired for. I wanted to know why you changed the title of what you were addressing it for. I have very specific questions. And he may have very good reasons, like you just had a good reason. I don't know, but you don't have an opportunity to ask. It raises suspicion. And that's the last thing you want to do. We want to move on from here, not suspicious, but with as clear answers we can have, and knowing that we're doing practices from this point forward that are not going to get us into the deep doo-doo we got in to begin with. Okay, and I'm not convinced we know that yet. Especially when offered to ask from people that knew, and he didn't interview them. Why? It doesn't make any sense to me. You're doing an investigation and you got two suspects, you don't talk to them, or you put it in a positive tone, you've got two people that may have evidence to something and you don't talk to them, it seems pretty naive. So I think those are legitimate questions, but I'd love to see him come back, and I think it owes it to the council, it owes it to the citizens. You want to move on from here, he goes away, does his job, we still have to survive as a borough. We want to function together, okay, and move forward. So it'd be a good idea to bring him back.
Just in that vein, Scott, I have a specific question for you. Based on what happened and being that two of our council people were absent, didn't have privy, you know, to that private conversation, can you disclose to the council anything else that was discussed privately with this forensic auditor?
That really because was the whole discussion, you know, as far as its intent goes. I mean, I can't remember it verbatim, but that was the...
Because you didn't give the other people on council an opportunity to ask the gentleman any questions either.
No, we didn't ask questions.
Well, after
I mean,
he came back,
but
he came back and said he'd like to speak only to our mayor.
But I would understand that if there was something that was of a criminal nature, there was something that was prohibited by law for him to discuss in open, but it was none of that. It was just, hey, look, you're the professional. We've got questions. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to, you mentioned that he hadn't done one of the things, and in order to get on our list of stuff, he had a proposal that listed six categories, which I happen to have, and I can share with you if you want to think about
it. I read it.
Yes. Which was the one you said he didn't do?
I think it was something to do about, I don't know the term.
I'll read them for you. Just tell me which one it was. Expenditures from various budget accounts, vouchers, purchase orders, journal entries, revenue transactions, credit entries.
Revenue transactions. Okay. I just wanted to make a note of that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else? At this point, I'd accept the motion to close the audience portion.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? We have our reports.
Receive and file.
Second. Is there any discussion on any of the reports?
I do, Mayor. Real quickly, in the borough manager's report concerning the overnight stickers, right? Any further update on that, Ms. Blanchard?
The only update I have for you is that the county is willing to work with us. Find out what I said to
them. They're not taking any more calls.
That's correct.
In Hackett
they're not
town.
Taking any more calls for overnight parking requests effective July 1st, 2012.
Right.
However, they will work with the borough on extending that time while we come up with alternative solutions.
And that's where you need our direction and what we're going to look at for alternative solutions.
Correct. It would be a legislative decision as to how you want to handle this.
Correct.
You could eliminate it entirely. You can't call in. You have to find a place to park your car. They offered a web-based system where people can log on and they can input their information for the cars in, on our website.
A lot of people on the phone don't have the web access.
Well, that could be a problem, but we could send it to the police department.
Is this just county roads, or is this going to be carte blanche throughout the borough?
It's the borough. It's affecting Hackettstown and the borough.
Now, you stated Hackettstown, I think on this, I could be wrong, that they do a seasonal thing.
They do. They do their parking restrictions in the summer.
That could be a good possibility, too.
So that
could give us a 2 or 3 month reprieve, but it really wouldn't solve the problem.
This is year long you're talking about.
Yeah.
But you're still looking into this. You didn't come back, right?
She needs direction from us.
Needs direction.
Well, this is where we're at. What do you...
Well, no, I thought you said you were going to do research and then place it on an upcoming agenda.
The municipalities that I researched...
Like what Hackettstown's plan? You said he...
They have no plan because it doesn't affect them until October.
Now, is the county dropping their rates? Are we pay to them for that service because they don't want to do this extra call-in feature?
That's not the issue. I had a conversation with Mr. Wheatley before I brought it to Ms. Blanchard's attention. What it is essentially the 911 center. It feels that by having people call in and say, my car is going to be on the street overnight, that they are essentially giving them permission to break the law. Because this would be, you know, they would be parking between 3 and 6 a.m. And Mr. Wheatley's feeling is that they don't have the authority to do that. So it really isn't necessarily a workload / monetary issue as much as...
Why can't they have a dedicated police phone number to call? Instead of calling on the Warren County Communications, why can't...
Well, they do. The township police number, the I think it's...
Like
the non-emergency
non-emergency number?
Yes, it goes directly to the communication center.
There's no one there at night to answer the phone.
That's
remember,
the phone.
These calls are coming in between 7 and 2 a.m. in the morning.
This, and it forwards you directly to the
communication
center.
Oh, I didn't know there was nobody at the police station at that time.
Yeah,
they're usually out on patrol.
This is especially
just during the day.
No, I'm just coming up trying to figure out a possible solution.
Mr. Torres.
Well, this is again another example of some of our ordinances that have difficulty, especially with our new shared services agreement that we've had over the last 2 years, to be properly enforced. Again, it's something that maybe we could discuss. A lot of people, as I understand it, and myself included, are opposed to even having the overnight rule. You know, there's no parking overnight. I understand that originally the intention of the law was for emergency, you know, purposes when there's snow. However, you know, a lot of municipalities do look at it, you know, at a time when there's, you know, snow emergency, and then alternate side of street parking or something similar can maybe be, you know. So what I'm suggesting, I guess, is amending our ordinance, which, you know, I had planned to discuss.
Should the streets committee look into this, you think, Pat, if you look at that?
Sure.
Or should we, you know, should that be a council decision?
It's going to be a council decision. Well,
ultimately,
Ms. Blanchard did say about legislation, which would be an ordinance change. You know, if we go stickers and do some with that revenue.
Yeah.
But it is causing a problem, again, for
the people
that call in. You know, it's a problem to enforce it. And it also, if they call by accident to the 911 number, if there's real emergency, somebody's trying to call at exactly the same time, they may backlog that person even for a few seconds, and the response time may slow down a little bit. I mean, it's just probably not a good idea. Well, I mean, people don't know. They call up a number. They says to the police, okay, I want the watch. They call information maybe. They don't have the number handy. They say, okay, you know, I just want the Washington police. The information people is automatic, sometimes a machine. Sometimes it will automatically give only the one number. So maybe it comes in on the 911 line. And a lot of people, as Christine had mentioned, do call in the evening to, you know, say that, you know, their uncle is visiting from out of town, they need to park their car overnight or whatever have you. You know, and again, this is a problem, I think, because a lot of people, you know, especially the elderly people in town, have difficulty because they park, say, you know, near their garage or their, you know, driveway, which happens to be sometimes in the back of their premises, which is a big long walk for some of these people, you know, that maybe are a little older.
How are the stickers being used now, Christine, for overnight parking? On the street?
On the street. They can come in and request.
Are you seeing a lot of activity with that, or is it just mostly calling?
No, I have, we go through 250 stickers a year.
Okay.
So, the 911 center receives just about 40 calls a night.
Every night.
That's a lot.
So it's not really being utilized.
It could be utilized.
The only way it can be utilized is if it's enforced.
People know if they call, they can get permission, right.
Right.
So the enforcement's our other issue, or we can change an ordinance.
And many of the calls are repeat calls night after night after night.
Right, and that's a problem, and I know that. I have the information from the 911.
Yeah, so right there's our two options. Enforce, which we don't know, or change the ordinance, which we allow.
Right.
Ms. Douglas, do you have a question?
Is this gonna be open to the public in the voting?
If it's changing of ordinance, it certainly would have its public hearing.
Yeah.
It will be, so if you put it on the agenda, then we can't say anything about it?
If there's an ordinance that's done, if the change of the ordinance, there's a public hearing with the adoption of the ordinance.
And the change to the ordinance would be what? We would now allow, always allow overnight parking? I guess, would you look into with the fire department, EMS, and...
Well, that's what I always thought the original reason for not allowing was, because many of our roads are small.
Yeah, well, then maybe it should be amended to certain roads.
They can't get down their streets.
Right.
Right, so I think the...
But still, those people are still calling in, and they're probably parked there anyway.
That's correct. So my, what I would recommend, if we wanted to change the ordinance, would be to, you have to get a sticker. We have to know where you're parking.
Then it goes into the enforcement.
That's correct, that's the other half.
Which is a problem.
How was it handled before the cops left? I know we got tickets every once in a while.
Right, it was handled the same way. I think right now, in my conversation with Mr. Wheatley, it was due to the call volume. Not only are they taking our calls, average 40 to 50 a night, they're taking Hackettstown, which is another 100. They have a lot. A lot of calls coming into the 911 center.
We spent a lot of money on parking lots. That's all I want to put that a little bit in.
But the other thing is, none of those parking lots are near any of these homes. And I know, because I've actually had people ask me this in my neighborhood, because there are people now that have people living at home that have cars. Situations have changed, and they're having a problem with parking. So they have to park on the street.
Our town was designed when people had maybe one car, and now they have four.
Just to make a specific example, on my street, Colton Avenue, there happens to be a situation where there's over 8 cars that someone, every night. Okay, and it's not enforced, and I don't know the reason why. However, it's an enforcement problem, and occasionally I get a ticket because I can't move my car in the back fast enough, or on time, or forget to call, or because different things happen. But, you know, there's other people that are not as youthful or young as I am that live on my street that have a problem because it's over 300 yards to where they have to park, and then they have to walk all the way around, and they're women, and they're older, well, the problem is, you don't want them... Listen, I'm looking out for their safety because it's a bad situation, you know, it's...
What it all boils down to is we're going to need further discussion on this.
So I was just going to say, can we definitely ask for an extension?
Yes.
Well, but there's one extension already, right?
Right, yes, I negotiated July 1st, but...
But why can we have the police chief come in here to discuss his recommendations and enforcement?
I discussed it with the police chief.
I saw that.
Yeah, he and I have come to the same conclusion, but we can bring him in.
Yeah, because how is he going to enforce it? He made the suggestion to start using stickers. How is he and his men going to enforce it?
We did that probably 2 years ago. They did a sweep, they're ticketing, they cleaned it up, and, you know, then they stopped because they're investigating other things, and the cars are back, so...
But you know what? I think the whole problem with the ordinance, as I read it, is that it's borough-wide. And really, because of our situation of our borough, the different widths of our street, because of the history of our town, it's probably a good idea to have the street committee look into designating certain streets in a new ordinance to, you know, eliminate this, you know, problem. As a compromise, that probably is a good suggestion, I would think.
Can I ask a question?
Sorry, just...
Can I ask a question? Just so I understand, the stickers, are they one-time use only stickers, or are they...
They're good for a month, aren't they?
Annually? You can buy them any way you wish.
Can they only be used once? That's my question.
No. You can use them for a month. You can use them quarterly, annually, whenever you wish to come in and pay. But they're good for 1 year.
Okay.
You change them yearly.
How much revenue do we get out of it?
Well, she just said how many there are.
It's 220 by what, 175?
Yeah, it's...
2,000?
2,000.
Not a lot.
We also sell parking lot stickers as well. That's slightly
that's
less.
That's a little different.
Right, so, and again, about 250 years, so yeah. I'd say between the two, 3,500. Not a lot. Something.
Any other discussion on this, Mr. Boyle?
No, thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, any other discussion on our reports?
No.
Okay, we have a motion to receive and file. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Committee reports. Anything from the Code Book Committee?
Yes, there is. Give me a minute. Mr. Mayor, I have a couple of handouts to hand to everybody.
Regarding
what we discussed. We were looking into specifically the background check suggestion for an ordinance.
I proposed the background check ordinance, and council directed the code book committee and the recreation commission. Everyone on council should have received a letter from the recreation commission with their
questions
and concerns. A lot of them, even the way it's currently written, the ordinance where the borough would be paying the tab, there was still quite a few who were against even having the background check that, parents.
Just for the public's benefit, you just want to read these questions aloud. So this is going to be for a straw poll for us to discuss later to decide which way we basically want to go. Basically, there's four questions that we at the our COBA committee, which is John, Janine, and myself, came up with. One, should we allow for a choice of contracted vendor to supply the background checks to the agency or recreation committee? Commission, rather, or mandate that all must use the state method.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
So for this question, the way the current draft ordinance is, we're using the state VRO. Their cost is about $45. It involves fingerprinting, and it's the federal background check, the state, it's with the state police, state background check.
Who does the fingerprinting?
You would contact the manager. We don't tell you where you have to go in the ordinance. You would contact the manager would direct the person.
It could be local police, state police,
exactly.
Anything like that.
Okay.
Right.
Janine, as opposed to what would the price be for a
Well, hold on. We'll get to those questions, okay. Justin. If we can, let me just finish reading this down. Because this is number two. If we choose to have an outside contractor to do the checks, then can we choose the no fingerprinting method to save costs, or does everybody want the full background or the partial background check, which a lot of recreation commissions throughout the state do use.
Rob went and got some more towns. Most of our ordinance is based on what Freehold does, and even Rob found some towns that were very similar to Freehold as well. There are other towns such as New Providence who just use like a service, and there's lots of companies that offer background checks, and so that's it is a big difference in cost, especially if you don't do the fingerprinting. And the other pro to doing it is it's kind of like online, almost like immediate results, whereas with the fingerprinting you have to wait, there's like a waiting period almost before you get your yes or no, they pass kind of.
10 days to 2 weeks generally on a regular fingerprint check, the VRO through the state, as opposed to instant check. Basically, what happens is these companies that contract with the state, I guess, they get information that's out there, that's bulk out there, background check information from the state police or whatever. Without a fingerprinting, they get instant information based on person's social security number and their driver's license and other information.
So these things might be a little bit outdated.
I was just going to ask that, what they're pre-existing,
It's way different in cost. It's
35, 25.
New Providence, the company they use without the fingerprinting method, it's $19 for the background check.
Okay.
Whereas going through like the VRO and doing the fingerprinting is $45.
So we could be looking between 15 and 25 depending on the vendor.
Right.
Okay. I got two more questions to go.
Okay. I have one question.
Okay. Go ahead.
What do you feel is more accurate? Do you think doing it the way New Providence does, as opposed to the state, what is better? Do you feel, in your opinion? Do you think getting an outdated report that could be indated potentially is better than getting a state report that could be right up to date? I mean,
I already presented what I felt
was
best, so I feel that the fingerprinting method is the way to go. But I mean, it's still a valid background check and...
Right, exactly, that's the point. It's either one is a valid background check, and basically, this is in compliance to, you know, state statute that is called, what is it, Fair Families Act, I believe. I'm not 100% sure on the name of the act, but it's basically, it's for specifically organizations and, you know, would include school districts as well, or any recreation, like, say, a Little League group or whatever, anybody that directly supervises children or, you know, minors under 18. So this, you know, is basically in compliance with that, the whole purpose of even having a background check ordinance. But now let me get back. I have two more points here. If we choose to do the volunteer and coaches background check, which is what the Recreation Department had, you know, suggested, you know, originally get done, then should it also apply to borough employees as well? Because that was another question. We can extend it.
My ordinance includes employees.
To include, you know, all borough employees too.
Some towns just do their volunteers and coaches.
And then, as John had suggested, if so, should just be the new employees from now on. And number four, who should ultimately pay the costs? The borough, the Recreation Commission, or a separate borough entity? Each individual applicant, which whoever makes the requirement. If the ordinance says, okay, the Recreation Commission is the one that we're going to say requires the background checks, then they can, in their bylaws or whatever, say we require payment by the individual applicants. And they may not want to, they may want the, say, volunteers that are, you know, they might want to cover the costs, in other words, rather than, so it should be maybe, in my opinion, up to the outside agency or board or commission, you know, to require that if we decide to, you know, just kick it over to the Recreation Commission. Or the sponsoring organization itself, they might say...
Well, yeah, they already do it anyway.
Right. Like in some instances, like for baseball, Little League, that's one example that where they do it. Or a school board, you know, they obviously do it too. So that's basically... So we just kind of are looking for, to go back to committee,
right.
We're looking for just, you know, a yes
or
no
on each... The standstill, because we all feel...
A different way.
A different way. So and you know, I guess it's a matter of wondering how does the rest of council feel before
right.
we...
Well, I agree. I think, we, you know, background checks are a great thing. I mean, we're dealing with our children here, you know, I mean,
right.
So it's very important to find out who is dealing with our children.
Right.
The only thing I worry about is who pays for the costs. And again,
right.
We don't want to dissuade somebody from wanting to become part of the volunteer group that maybe they can't front that, whatever it's going to cost.
Yeah, I just want to say that Director Cioni, yeah, he
right.
wasn't here. That was a lot
yeah,
of his questions.
About that.
Okay, we're about, yeah.
Right. But, so but that's if that'll be taken care of by the Recreation Department, that's fine, you know. And
right.
as far as employees go, absolutely.
That would be my suggestion.
I would recommend that, too, because any employer, I know, even when I got hired from my company 11
right.
years ago, background checks were done on everybody, so, and they have to be. You
mm-hmm.
know, you're looking for anybody who could be a potential felon or possible... problem down the road. So.
Okay,
so
you're saying... Okay, I'm going
to
start with Justin.
Question, and go through each question and do a short poll for each question. How about that?
Okay.
Right?
So, okay, fine. Justin, on the first question, how would you answer?
No, just do a real quick show of hands or whatever.
The first question is really two questions.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, it's kind of not a good way to do it. I mean, it kind of got Justin's opinion.
I think
so,
if the no fingerprint method is accurate, yes, I would go with that.
Okay, so no fingerprint. So you're saying yes for background checks.
Yes.
So who to do it? Should the borough do it, or should the Recreation Commission do it, in your opinion?
I think the Recreation Commission can do it.
Okay.
Well, if you're going to have employees, though, they wouldn't do...
Well,
that's
okay.
Another
I'll
question.
Take that back.
We
if you're doing employees, the borough should do it for the employees.
Okay, so
the
borough,
Recreation Commission for
yes,
volunteers.
And should it be to include all borough employees, or start with the new borough employees?
With the new borough employees.
No, okay. All right. So that's good. I think you covered all the questions. So, Patrick, next.
For number one, I believe, yes, background checks.
Mm-hmm.
I would have no problem with the state method. For number
okay.
two, the best method is the fingerprinting, so I
mm-hmm.
would agree with fingerprinting, even though it might be cost more.
Okay.
Number three, I don't believe I would agree to the borough employees because we have a
I'm assuming now, so now I got caught. Pre-employment screening for all borough employees. So I don't know if that's redundant. Existing employees, no. Volunteers and coaches, yes. Question number four, I don't believe that cost for the recreation activities should go on to the borough.
Okay, not borough, okay.
The rec commission.
All right, so over to
John. Can you just go back to what you mean by the pre-employment screening?
Well, if we're talking for borough employees, is there a pre-employment screening already done?
Well, like, for example, when we just hired the recent tax person, we didn't do a background check. So I'm trying to understand. That was the most recent person.
Did we get a reference, though, from the tally he worked for, two references?
We had a number of references.
Well, the reference isn't anything in the background.
But that's not the same as the background.
Right, okay. Sure.
So that's the only thing we got was a reference.
I wasn't aware of what the pre... I'm just asking what...
It's probably the same thing, said a little differently. You know, if we don't do a pre-employment screening on people that we hire...
We should do it, then.
I believe so.
Oh, okay. I misinterpreted you. I thought you meant you were saying if we don't need to.
No.
If I could bust in here for a minute, for civil service positions, does civil service do any kind of a check ahead of time?
I don't know.
Okay.
If it's already done, I wouldn't want to be redundant and do it again.
Okay.
I can do that with civil service.
So I think that's a question, you know, in terms of what your job and your specifications are. You're talking about doing a background check for all potential employees?
Yeah,
I think we'd have to double check with the civil service regulations just to make sure that that's not going to be a problem.
Well, we're just going for a straw poll right now, so we're just going to get there.
I was actually hoping for an answer there that maybe civil service did a background check before they submit their list of candidates.
I don't think they do, but...
My sense is you're going to be able to do it, but I think we've got to double check with...
Okay. All right, so I'm going around this way. So, John, you're next. How do you feel on these?
Yeah, the background check, the state method, fingerprinting.
Wait. So fingerprinting is okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Who pays?
Well, the borough should pay for the borough employees and rec for rec.
Okay. And rec for rec. Okay. All right, and I basically am also for the background check. However, I feel that using an outside company is adequate and it's instantaneous, which is, you know, saves hiring, especially for volunteers. We don't lose any good, you know, lifeguards or some kids that maybe want to sign up to, you know, help out the recreation department. You know, wait for 2 weeks to have it come back. It's a lot of maybe unnecessary paperwork because this is, you know, approved by other municipalities. So to me, I would be in favor of having the rec commission pay for the, or leave it up to them to actually decide on whether or not to pass on the cost. But I do believe that they should maybe go through the non-fingerprinting method through an outside contract.
Yeah, I'm personally comfortable with the agency doing it through the non-fingerprinted method.
So contract, okay.
You know, I think the borough employees, future borough employees, should have the check as well, and I think the cost should be borne by the hiring agency type of thing, you know, recreation for their people.
Okay.
You know, the borough for
so not though. Okay. Janine?
Well, we're gonna need Councilman Higgins then, because I'm with Pat and John.
So what do we got, a 3-3?
Maybe a 3-3.
Well, I don't know, not on everything. So, I mean, we all agree that we want a background check.
Yes.
So that's number one. Okay? So...
I say the state method, fingerprinting.
Okay. Okay, we can wait for Mr. Higgins,
new
right?
employees.
Mm-hmm.
And the borough pays for the employees, and rec pays for any rec, for, you know, volunteers and...
Okay.
My only concern with the whole thing is that the seasonal employees, you know, like a lifeguard, or that's, you know, again with the timing and the cost every year to. I do have a concern putting that cost on recreation for these.
Oh, I agree.
So I'm not. I don't know. So if anyone has any ideas how we could.
Well, could you make an exception for seasonal employees to do it a cheaper way?
We should probably have input from the rec commission now that we're going to probably agree to go forward with
how good is the background
central.
Check
Pardon
for?
Me?
Is it good for a year?
3 years.
3 years?
Yes, 3 years.
So, yeah, there would be the big hit right up off the bat. Well,
right, that's
but
okay.
After that, it wouldn't be quite so much. Michelle, you had something you wanted to add?
To answer your question, I would say anyone under 18 doesn't need it, but first of all. If you're in college, I would say 18 to 20 late, let's say. You can use a $19 version to save on money.
Through the state.
Because they, criminal offenses only truly hit your record until after 18 anyway.
Right, so there'd be no point in doing it after 18.
So the money on anyone who's between, let's say, 18 and 20 and 23 years, that becomes a college graduate. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, excuse me, a couple other things. The local place to get fingerprinted is Tabidon, where I just got there with the fingerprinted.
They won't be there much longer.
Right.
And they will still keep that there.
They will?
So that part of it?
That is the Warren County station.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, that's where I just got done, too. Mm-hmm.
And they had it in under 7 days.
Oh. Okay.
Also.
And how much did you pay?
The agency paid.
Oh, so you don't even know how much it was.
Right. I think it's.
So agency paid in your
I
case.
I think it's $56 up there.
When
it's the most expensive there, right?
Well, let me put it this way. When I became a teacher, it was $75. And that was 10 years ago.
So there's kind of really a big range because I was getting prices of like $45. So.
Yeah.
It is a big range on these, you know, costs.
Depends on how much you want to check.
But some of these, some of these contract agencies, the cost is down to like, you know, in the $20 to $30 range. So it is a little cheaper, too, that
method.
So, yes.
And check the state
the state doesn't mandate this, so I doubt that
I don't think
they
do, right.
Our decision.
It might have changed. Maybe different. There's a whole bunch of things right now on
I guess we're going to have to
the hill for that.
Yeah, for children's safety.
Dick, do you know offhand
the changes
a change that's been
I'm not aware of any changes where the state would take on the financial obligations.
Okay.
They're pretty good at avoiding those.
Yeah, I would think. Right.
And I know with the League of Municipalities, they review all of the legislation, you know, the committee that I sit on, and they are very adamant that if the state comes down with any mandate that they don't fund, you know, the League does not approve it.
I talked to Jason Sernowski about that.
But I wonder,
there isn't
no grant?
No. He's still trying to see if he can find something, but when I talked to him last week, he said no.
Okay.
All right. Anything else with
the
Provo Committee?
So I guess, there is. Well, just to continue on this, Janine had suggested that we contact Councilman Higgins, so, you know, we can do that in the meantime, get his answers, and then know where to go for our next meeting. We have our next meeting Sunday. Mm-hmm. John, can you make Sunday night? We also did discuss, possibly we're looking into condensing a lot of the code book verbiage, if we can, by allowing the use of a official website for any outside, say, utilities, or say, similar to like the Rec Commission, any agencies that are outside the borough itself. They can have their own web page, like the sewer department, is a utility, which is basically separately, budgeted and financed. So possibly looking into having the rules and regulations posted on their official web page, which would basically eliminate a lot of wordage out of our, codes and our ordinances if we can adjust our, code book, according to these changes with new technology and the language, which we may be able to do as, I did find in some investigations done by the city of Rahway, so I don't know if Dick would want to check into that. They did it like that. They have, for example, our sewer ordinance, which is Chapter 70, which we were just reviewing. I think it's 16 or 18 pages. It will depend upon which version of the code book, last year's or the new one. But they have, this is their whole ordinance. It's 1, 2, 3 pages and includes the fees, too. So, we can really, make it a lot easier to read, make it easier to understand for, the non-legalese, if you would, for the general citizen. So, that's kind of the intention. So hopefully, we're going to find out, further whether we can do this and then get input from, the engineer
as well, as, you know, go back to our sewer committee who did put input into, you know, our research so far. But we have a lot more to go on this. So.
Hey, Rob, just got one question.
Yeah.
Getting back to the background checks.
Okay.
Aside from the coaches and volunteers to recreation, there's also volunteers in the borough, meaning the planning board volunteers, non-paid positions, the board of adjustment, non-paid positions, mm-hmm. and you also, under the employee category, you may or not consider the fire department rescue squad, depending how they do
it. Well, you see.
Now, see, I just want to know if you can clarify if that's going to be, it's going to fall under background checks or not.
Well, see, that's the way that I had suggested wording the ordinance was that we leave it as a borough mm-hmm. up to the individual outside, you know, borough agency or borough board or borough commission, mm-hmm. you know, whether or not they themselves choose to have, based on their own meetings and their own, you know, bylaws, you know, that they make up, whether or not they want to have the background check apply to them. But if we vote for, you know, to have it throughout the borough, we can do that as well, okay. depending upon how we award the ordinance. That's basically, you know, what we want. But that's a good question, Justin.
Okay. Either way,
that
I have no problem.
Question.
Yeah, either way, I have no problem with that.
That should be a straw poll. Do we do all volunteers, commissions, committees? Or
I really have no problem with it. I mean, they're all working in some capacity or another, you know what I mean? And they're still affecting the borough one capacity or another.
Well,
so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, see, the thing is.
Hold on a second, Rob.
Yeah.
Mr. Feldman, you had something?
Just a quick point about your volunteers in recreation. We have, at least historically, we've always had problems getting people to volunteer to coach and stuff.
Right.
And now you're going to say, gee, thanks for coaching, and here's a $30 bill you got to pay. You know, so I would think that if you're going to mandate this kind of stuff, that the borough should pick up the cost.
Well, it would be recreation paying for it as opposed to the individual, so it would come
right.
out of their fees.
The volunteer get stuck with it. Because
right. Recreation has discussed that, the exact same issue.
Right.
I
said that before, Rick. I think it might dissuade people from wanting to join
Absolutely.
If you get to pay a fee up front, so that would be a concern, like I addressed before.
Okay.
Yeah,
but the
one thing that I want to bring up
pay for
it. Was it does basically, the intention of the state statute for allowing this, you know, the municipalities to do this is, you know, to protect the children and anybody who directly supervises. So, as for outside agencies, like the planning board does not directly supervise, so I don't think that it would apply to the planning board, so I don't think that particular borough agency would, have to get background checks.
I think it could apply because if those people are indirectly affecting things that could happen in the borough, and depending upon the background they could have had, it could influence it. I'm thinking outside the box. You've got to be able to CYA, and you know what I'm
talking about. But again, as Mr. Feldman said, it is costing another $30, $40, $50, or somebody else said $75.
But that was my question. I understand.
So which direction should the ordinance be written? So we're at the point now where we're going to amend the draft ordinance mm-hmm. that I've already presented. And that was one of the Recreation Commission questions. We need to define volunteer better.
Right, that's right.
Is it something that should be, so you're of the mindset that it should be everyone?
I think it should be everyone.
Pat?
No.
Just more children?
With children.
Right. I say the same thing as Pat.
I lean more towards just doing it for the children, but, you know, those who have contact with the children, but I understand the point of, you know, the Board of Adjustment and the mm-hmm. Planning Board, so.
The Fire Department, First Aid Squad.
That's where
Even
I lean right now, but I'm not defending
the
band as well.
For children, John?
But that would be you guys too.
Yeah.
Mr. Mulray, you have elected
officials.
Hang on, let me just clarify that. You may ask them to get it, but the determination as who's qualified to get elected for office is set by state statutes. So that I'm not sure what it would do in terms of, I mean, it might be interesting to the voters. But, you know, it's not going to determine whether somebody can hold the position or not.
You wouldn't do it for a candidate. You wouldn't do it until after they were elected. Mr. Beshear.
So can I just finish this, John, this children or at all departments?
I say
just children now, too.
Okay, so that's kind of decided then. That's
okay.
Good.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, sorry.
As a volunteer firefighter, speaking for myself as an individual, firefighters should be included in the background check. And I think fingerprinting as well. It's my personal opinion. Because remember, we're going into people's homes, businesses.
And would apply to the emergency squad also.
Isn't that something that the department can decide on themselves?
Yeah, that's what we're trying to say. I shouldn't be speaking on behalf of the fire department, but there are committees set up in place for that committee. And then once the committee decides, it's brought to the council to accept, and the council votes on it, and I guess they're putting the insurance in there. You know, but off the record, that's, you know, kind of how they operate that.
Okay. Anything else from the code book committee?
No, that's it. That was it. Right.
Okay. We have no old business. It would take us to new business. Number one, the open request for executive session minutes.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Clean Communities graffiti abatement.
So that was after at the last council meeting, we were talking about all the money we received from the Clean Communities, and we haven't used it in a couple of years, and we had asked the manager to go back, and I had made the recommendation that we use some of that money, because it can be used for graffiti abatement. And Councilman Higgins said it, well, he didn't just want to give a blank check, you know, for this. It'd be better if we had like a not-to-exceed or a cost amount. So the manager went back and spoke with the DPW to get some cost on, you know, how the materials to remove graffiti. And so she did get back to council with that dollar amount, and I wanted to make a motion that we allot that amount from the, we still have more money to spend in that, from that grant. But
Gene, I just have a question.
You make a motion?
Well, I want
to discuss dollar amount.
Okay. It was about $2,000, $1,900-something.
Actually, $2,013.86.
And we got that with the grant.
With the grant cost, sorry.
We're good. So I'll second Councilman Levis.
I want some discussion now it's on the floor. I found very few instances of graffiti in the borough. And basically, I guess there are some signs that maybe have been affected by graffiti. So I had suggested to save money, rather than spend that much money on this big quantity of graffiti remover, to just see if we could get new signs, which maybe would only cost in the hundreds rather than thousands of dollars.
Well, the graffiti just isn't on signs.
Yeah, I see it on like these big cement blocks and
right.
stuff.
Well, okay. It's common down at the park, and they remove
okay,
it
yes.
very quickly.
Right. Okay, but the quantity, as I understand it, can be less. I mean, how much is that?
We can reduce
right.
some of the items. We were going to buy a couple of cases so we'd have it on hand, because as Scott mentioned, down at the park we use them a lot. We use them a lot on the picnic tables and the playground area.
Mm-hmm.
So if we reduce one case of each, it comes down to $795.
That's hundreds. That's better for me.
Instead of one, two cases of these special paint remover, graffiti remover, and then two cases of the knockout graffiti remover, which is for fines.
I'm still comfortable with what the motion is.
Yeah, I think
I
should do
it
the way it is.
I'm completely comfortable with the motion, I think.
Yeah.
We spend what we need to spend to get the graffiti and make it beautiful. What does this cover as far as the language goes? Graffiti, does it cover any damages or anything? Like,
public property.
Stuff for removal of it.
Public property.
Public property only,
yeah.
right? Okay.
Right.
Okay. That's all. It's just the chemicals. Okay. We don't know how much the chemical prices might go up in a couple of years. So,
right.
like, I think we ought to stockpile it now while we can, while the prices are still.
And while we have the grant money.
Right.
All right. So my next question would be, maybe we can use it, being that we have this extra supply, maybe we can look into some sort of shared service where we can provide a cleanup service with this special graffiti remover, this knockout special stuff that we're spending all this money on.
I don't know how much demand there would be. Deputy Mayor, would you be interested?
Just a quick suggestion. Student council at the middle school over here, if I get the kids involved, we'll clean up. Use that great money to fund back there, student council. A couple $100 rather
That's
than
good.
Thousands of dollars.
Right. So
they still need
the
supplies
to remove
it.
Manpower.
Correct, but hire an outside company rather than just give kids.
Oh, no, this is just the supplies, the materials,
okay.
the solutions.
Yeah.
It's not manpower.
Right.
Yeah. Is there an expiration date on these supplies?
No. Is this going to be in the next audit as an itemized item, or are they going to disappear without being used?
General audit, it will be.
Okay, these are important questions, though. All right.
All right, any other discussion? We have a motion on the floor. Let's do a roll call since it involves money.
Weaver?
Yes.
Jewel?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Torres, no.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Best way to get some votes through is not even answer.
I'll get back.
Christine, that's fine. That's it on purpose. Torres?
I already answered.
No.
No?
Right, no.
Resolution 87, 2012, redemption of a tax certificate.
So moved.
Second. Okay, any discussion on that? Roll call, please.
Jewel?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
Weaver?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Okay, 88, 2012, for a labor lien.
So moved.
Second. Okay, any discussion on that one? Hearing none, a roll call, please.
Jewel?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Weaver?
Yes.
89, 2012.
So moved.
Second. Refund over payment of taxes. Any discussion? Roll call to there.
Jewel?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Weaver?
Yes.
And 90, 2012.
Second.
So moved.
Backwards there.
I'm waiting.
Any discussion on that one?
Do over.
Roll call, please.
Boyle?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Jewel?
Yes.
Weaver?
Yes.
Okay, should we leave our vouchers until after executive session? Since I think there will be some. Okay.
Good idea.
Okay. Let's go to the recap. Ms. Blanchard, what do we have for you?
As the bridge on Route 57, I was trying to reach out to the DOT to get a contact for the engineer who was in charge of that project. I'll also find out the status on Route 31.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the website as far as the FAQ for the forensic audit. I'll check Ordinance 7, 2006 for the recreation bond ordinance. Just curious about that myself. I'll contact the Chief of Police about attending a council meeting to discuss the street overnight parking, along before the information to the street committee for the on-street parking. And I'll contact Social Service about background checks.
Okay. Do some council remarks, too, while we're at it. Mr. Jewel, do you have anything?
Good job to Christine so far. Doing a pretty diligent job. I'd like to look into that AED that Ms. Detlef brought up. That's a very important tool. I think we need to, I know we're looking into it, but let's seriously look into that and get that fixed. One thing I want to touch on as far as the graffiti, and I didn't bring it up then, but I know at one point we had like an indentured servitude type service going on where we had brought people into the borough.
Community service.
Yeah, right. And well, I call it indentured servitude, because in a way, they really are. They did a great job, whoever they were. You know, some people had skills, maybe they're carpenters or electricians or whatever, and they brought that with them as their community service and did the borough a good deed. And we hope maybe we can bring that back, or if we're not currently utilizing that, and we could.
It does get utilized occasionally, but part of that is somebody has to be available to supervise them.
Yeah, supervise.
You know, maybe not constantly, but once in a while.
So
that's part of it, and as far as the graffiti goes, you know, that's come in
absolutely.
Often as part of the community service.
Other than that, that's it.
Mr.
And put your flag up Memorial Day, too, please. Memorial Day's come up in the month.
No, thank you, Mayor.
Mr. Valentine?
Well, no comments.
Mr. Torres?
I did want to, I don't know if people are aware, but there's a longtime dentist who just recently was diagnosed with a very difficult type of cancer. He's in stage 4.
He passed away.
Yes, he passed away. Dr. Erickson, okay.
There is an event for him on June 2nd, I believe.
Thank you very much. That's Yeah, right, the fundraiser is, what is the date, Scott?
I believe it's June 2nd. I'd have to look at my calendar to be sure, but I believe that's it.
It's Dr. Dwight Erickson, so unfortunately passed away.
Anything else, sir?
No, that's...
Okay, Mrs. Gleba.
All right, sorry, I have a few things. Christine, could you continue the recap report? Because that was helpful, that Rich did when he did the weekly report, as, you know, like the items that are on your recap list, this way we can see when things have been completed or still open, because that's part of my questions tonight. There's still, like, some open things, I'm curious.
Okay.
If you could find, like, what's the status on the online tax and sewer payment ability?
Didn't we leave off that Councilman Torres would provide information to the CFO?
She was supposed to contact a couple, and I didn't hear from her again. So I didn't get an opportunity since then to discuss that with her, but I will continue to strive to do that.
I'll talk to
her. Okay. Yeah, I'd like to see that start happening. We got the monthly police report, for the past few months, and we had requested more details and information. It hasn't changed, so...
It hasn't.
They haven't
responded yes or no.
Okay.
I can ask again.
All right. And, like, what's the status on the Pleasant Valley Dam? What's going on with that thing? Anyone know?
I know that a sewer committee meeting is being held next Monday, and I was just informed by the DEP Dam Safety Department that they have a grant available. The applications are due August 15th, and the engineer will be discussing that at the sewer committee meeting, so we're getting... This is the funding we needed to
get
that dam.
Okay, great.
That's good.
Okay. I wanted to thank the New Jersey American Water Company for their $500 donation to the teen pool party. Encourage everyone to volunteer this week if they can. I'm not sure, was a motion made to do the email blast tomorrow from Victor's correspondence?
No,
I was late.
There was a motion.
I'd like to make a motion that we send out the email blast tomorrow to recruit volunteers.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
And then just the last thing, I was at a bid meeting, and one of the business members just innocently made a comment, and it disturbed me, and when I left, because he mentioned something that was discussed in executive session. And so someone on council is still speaking to the public about what's being discussed in executive session, and I have a real problem with that. You shouldn't be sitting up here if you're repeating what's being said in executive session. So, anyway, I just wanted to make it known that...
Gee, just to add for the recreation, someone donated money for one of the park signs, I think the 31 side. I don't remember the company.
Kiwanis.
Kiwanis, yeah, and they just sent a thank you out, just thank them for their...
Recreation is already taken.
Yeah, okay.
That's all I have.
Okay.
I just was thinking about it. About the situation with the flooding on Route 57. Is there anything that we can do to be more proactive to see if we can actually move in the direction of getting that fixed? I know this is not going to be an easy job.
I'm sure Christine's going to bring up with it.
We could make monthly calls to them type of thing.
It's the state we're talking about here.
No, yeah. Well, I mean, exactly. But, I mean, again, the squeaky wheel does.
Yeah, but he might have some ideas to present to the state.
Honestly, John, I haven't even been involved, so I need to bring myself up to speed. I'll talk to the DOT. I'll find out where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
I can call every day if I
have to. Okay. Yeah, if there's anything I guess we can do.
Yeah, if you need, like, a letter from council members or something.
Right, and actually you did suggest that we send letters, that I send letters to our legislators.
Yeah, are we talking about, like, doing individual letters?
Or even from the local governing body and from the town if you need something.
Okay.
I look at Route 22, what happened over there. It took them how long to fix that one section by the mall, and it took somebody losing their life ultimately for them to do that. And I think that's too late.
I've seen that way too often, and DOT will readily admit that's
same with
a catalyst.
Main Street in Hampton.
Who are you recommending to send letters to?
To our legislators, Mr. Doherty, DeMeo, and Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speaking of which, sorry. Does anyone...
Hold on, anything else, John?
No, that's
okay.
That's
sorry.
Does anyone know, because I read the article, Senator Doherty introduced legislation
traffic.
On the red, the traffic
yeah.
light. Does anyone know, because now I'm starting to notice wherever these lights are, not, on Route 31 by Hess and ShopRite in Washington Township, That looks like a camera on that light.
Those are infrared, those are infrared cameras.
What do they do?
They pick up, they actually, years ago, they had stuff built into the roads and measured a vibration from a vehicle and it was sitting idle. And what happened, it would trigger the light to turn red or green. Those cameras act the same way, except they're more efficient. They're infrared. They pick up the heat on a vehicle. So if you have a motorcycle, it'll pick that up as well. The old style, and it'll really pick the motorcycle
weight
up.
Okay, so not every camera is checking if you're speeding. It's,
Google. No.
Okay, thank you.
I'm telling you, I looked into it. I know it all.
Yeah, and not all. I did speak to the chief very briefly, and he said that
No cameras.
Yeah, there's only five municipalities.
That's what I was wondering. Every camera I see is not necessarily one of those.
But it's got to be clearly marked as a photo enforced area. If it's not, then it's not.
Okay. Thanks.
I have nothing, so I would accept a motion on Resolution 91-2012 for the purposes of contract negotiation.
Yeah, I'll make a motion.
And litigation after a 5-minute break.
After a 5-minute break.
Okay.
Any discussion? I don't even need a 5-minute break.
All in favor?
See, I'm not sure the date that you actually entered into the contract with Schneider.
Now, that
you
could just really get on.
Well, it was a couple of questions.
So, that was important.
All right, can I entertain a motion to go into a public
session? So moved.
Second, Cleveland. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Let the record show the mayor has to leave. Okay, last order of business is our vouchers. And in this voucher list we have before us, we will remove the Schneider forensic audit bill.
I'll make a motion that we remove Schneider.
I'll second that.
There isn't my motion.
Do a roll call, Ms. Blanchard, please.
Just remove Schneider or replace all vouchers?
Right now, it's remove
Schneider.
Why
don't you do it both? Remove Schneider and
same
pay all vouchers.
Yeah, same
all other vouchers.
Yeah.
Get them done.
That's a good idea.
Yes to removing Schneider and paying the bills, abstaining from Finelli.
Correct.
Yes.
Joel?
Yes to paying the bills, yes to removing Schneider, and to abstain from the fire department and rescue squad bills.
Valentine?
Yes.
And Boyle?
Yes. Okay. That concludes our agenda for tonight.
Did you want to have a motion regarding the next action?
Yes.
Would you like me to see if I can kind of put down, or I could verbalize what I think the consensus was? Would that help?
That would help, counsel, absolutely.
Yeah. Sure. All right, let me see if I can, the Borough of Washington engaged Schneider and Company as a auditor to come in and do various auditing, forensic auditing for the borough. And whereas there was a contract entered into, and Christine, if you could fill in the date for that, on blank 2011, I think it was, in connection with that. And whereas Schneider and Company has submitted a forensic accounting investigation in response to the contract, and whereas members of the public have expressed a desire to present questions with respect to that report that was done by Schneider and Company, and whereas the mayor and council have now had an opportunity to review that report, and the public has also had an opportunity to review that report and also wish to follow up with respect to additional questions to the author of the report. And whereas the mayor and council believe that it is important to make sure that any questions from the public are answered as best the auditor can, and whereas the mayor and council also want to make sure that they get any questions from the public pertaining to the auditor in advance, so these can be presented in an organized fashion, And therefore, and furthermore, the mayor and council wish to have the borough auditor review the, both the auditor's contract and the report that was submitted to determine whether there was a response, or that the report that was submitted, the forensic accounting investigation report, was in fact responsive to the agreement that was entered into with Snyder and Company. Now therefore be it resolved by the mayor and council as follows. Number one, the mayor and council request the concerned citizens, is it?
Yes.
The concerned citizens group to solicit its members and any other members of the public who may have questions with respect to the audit to find out specifically what those questions are. And it is requested that the concerned citizens group and accumulate all those questions into a format and submit them to the manager, Christine Blanchard, for presentation to Snyder and Company, so that he will be, so that the company will be aware in advance of what those questions are and can properly respond to those questions. Is further resolved that the Snyder and Company will be requested to come and make a public presentation with respect to its report and the findings it's made, and to answer questions raised by the public, the governing body, and possibly others. And furthermore, that the manager is directed to request the borough auditor, Mr. Ferry, to do a comparison of the agreement entered into between the borough and Snyder and Company with respect to the providing the forensic auditing services, and also to compare the forensic accounting investigation report submitted by Snyder and Company to determine whether that particular accounting report is consistent with the agreement entered into with the borough. Is that generally set it forth?
One question. Concerning the submission of the questions, shouldn't there actually be a cutoff date for the questions so Christine can get them to the to Snyder?
I think that's a very good suggestion. If you could just add that in there, what date would you think is reasonable? Christine can just add that.
And also, we need a date for to request for him to come back.
Yeah.
A week?
Is it June 1st? Does that sound pretty reasonable?
Well, where's my phone?
This is probably the second meeting in June.
If he comes back to the second meeting in June, that is June 19th.
Okay.
So
by June 1st?
For the questions.
Yeah,
I think that's
for people
fair.
To get
June
questions in
to
Christine.
From now, yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then I'll give him 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah, that's
get the
a good idea.
Citizens to hold a meeting themselves if they need to.
Mm-hmm.
To
Christine,
file
if you could just put that date in there.
Right.
By so and so.
What do you think?
Get him back here?
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm asking.
You're asking a professional to come back. Yeah.
It's a professional.
Well,
right now, we removed that question from the bachelor list. So for right now, they're not going to get paid. But we don't, yeah, probably they will be getting paid.
You need a motion
when they come back.
Right.
So just for a few hours. Yeah.
Second.
They got a little question out there.
Is there any further discussion on?
No, on the resolution, no.
Right. Do a roll call, Ms. Blanchard, please.
Joel?
Yes.
Kleba?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yeah, thank you. Rick, quick.
Quick. Could you read the last, or summarize the last part about the Ferry thing and what you're asking Ferry to do?
Yeah. There's a contract between the borough and Snyder and Company.
Right.
You have the report from Snyder and Company. There are jargon in there, and we thought it made sense, or the governing body thought it made sense, to get our auditor to look and say, look, in his opinion, is this particular report consistent with the contract that the borough actually entered into from an accounting standpoint, from an auditing standpoint?
Okay. but how does that deal with the fact that the contract did not meet the requirements of an audit? Because he's calling it an investigation. And maybe somewhere around here, I don't want to throw accusations, someone decided, all right, we're not going to do an audit, we're going to do an investigation. In which case, Ferry looks at it and says, yeah, he said he was going to do an investigation, and that's what he gave you. Who's looking at whether this was an audit and the fact that he...
Well, I think that's what Ferry has to determine.
Excuse me?
I think that's a question for Ferry.
Okay, but that's not the same thing you're asking, because you're asking Ferry to say that, yeah, he did an investigation, that's the contract. The contract said do an investigation, but that's what he did.
I mean, the way I looked at it, right. Rick, there was a contract, okay? And he's going to say, this is my contract.
Okay.
This
right.
is what I'm,
maybe
you know.
That's another issue.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's a
okay.
separate issue.
Fine.
But what I'm simply saying is, from a technical standpoint, did it meet what he agreed?
Let a surgeon determine what a surgeon is, not a baker.
Right.
You're the baker.
Thank you.
Or a candlestick maker.
That's
never know.
It. Thank you, Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Is there any other business we need to conduct tonight? So I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Councilman Gleva, thank you.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Thank you.
All right.